Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Link Talk Radio here at Block Talk Radio. Welcome. How are you? Hope you guys are all doing great. This is the 4th of July weekend. Hope you guys are actually got some good plans on that kind of stuff going on, and hope you guys are all being safe. We're actually broadcasting live from Manitou Springs at 9:34 p.m. Mountain Time here. It's also July 2nd. Isn't it kind of crazy that we're already into July. You know, it's one of those situations where you wish the summer was just a little bit longer because the winter seems like it's forever. You know, maybe it's because we're enjoying ourselves too much. And we always say, you know, I don't think we can actually have enough, you know, fun. So therefore, we got to look at the situation and everything's going on. So all the people in the queue, we're going to get to every one of you. But I also want to sit here and say one thing. We had some callers last Tuesday. They were kind of like playing the prank and playing the kind of thing. Okay, remember one thing. Everybody on a computer has a PC kind of thing, number tracing and that kind of stuff. And the idea of the whole thing is this is real radio and this is broadcasting. We are reaching people and that kind of stuff. So therefore, if you come on the show with any kind of freaking playing games, pranking or whatever, that kind of stuff, it's a violation. And you will be charged. So therefore, if you're a person who's calling in and actually going to do any kind of pranking or think it's funny, when you have police knocking on your freaking door because of the violation of the FCC, then you're going to sit there and think about it differently, won't you? This is just not a computer, and it's an internet show. It's actually a radio show that actually broadcasts on many levels, okay? So therefore, you can be held accountable. So I just want to sit there and say that to you all before you think about coming on here and getting yourself in trouble. We had a situation where people just don't think. We actually had a guy who used to deliver a mail, and he thought that he'd go in the mail, it would go in the post office, get his mail all sorted up, put it in the bag, and head out like he's going to deliver the mail. Then he would find the first dumpster and dump that mail. He got caught. Guess what? Messing with the mail is a federal offense. He went to prison. Okay, so therefore, as looking at the situation, there's other ways to have fun. And right now, this is a spiritual show. This is a very serious thing. We're actually trying to help people in the idea of changing their lives. Okay, giving them the information, the insights, the direction, and peace of mind is what we're doing here. And that is working against us. So right now, for every person that comes on the show with that kind of infraction, it will come back on you tenfold, I guarantee you. Okay? So therefore, your action is what's going to bring the actions upon you. So therefore, remember that. Like attracts like. Karma comes back to bite you in the ass. But those things don't do that. They don't come back to bite you in the ass. You don't put them out there. Remember that, too, as well. So just neutralize the whole thing and the thought. All right, so there we are. Okay, plus we don't want to sit here and go over the whole thing and say, hey, guys, you want to reduce your phone bill, okay, from hundreds of dollars down to $45, then go to Walmart. Check it out. There's this thing called Straight Talk. Okay, it's a great situation. And they actually have Android. They actually have many variations of Androids. And just like any other phone company, cell phone company that you actually want to get. But the only thing difference is, $45 gets you unlimited everything. Okay, so that's the difference. I was actually working for one of the major companies too, having my phone with them and that kind of stuff like that. I have a couple of them. And my bills were always like $150 for bullshit. Okay, I hate to say that word, but you know, when you look at the situation, unlimited means unlimited, not what we say it is. Okay, so when you go to Straight Talk, when they say unlimited, it's unlimited. They have unlimited, what do you call it, texting, calling, and data. Okay, so check it out. Go to your favorite Walmart or go to www.straighttalk.com. All right. Also, if you're a person who's looking for some ways to actually kick into some more meditations and that kind of stuff, go to Amazon.com. Go to the MP3 download section. They actually have these things. They're subliminal downloads, meditations. They're 60-minute meditations, but the catch is they're only 99 cents a piece, and I have over 300 of these things, and it's amazing. You can get them all for anything. You want to attract that perfect girlfriend? They have a subliminal download for that. If you want to become a singer, they have that. You want to learn a language? They got a subliminal download for that too as well. If you want to get more connected to your angels, they have that. You want to set your mark on your psychic abilities? They also have that one too as well. So go check it out, Amazon.com, MP3 download section. Check it out. We also have another company called HemiSync. If you know anything about HemiSync CDs, it's a new I wouldn't say it's a new technology, but it's a different technology. And how it works is it has a tone underneath the music, and it actually helps both hemispheres of your brain to work together, so it gives you intense focus and concentration. And so therefore, when you meditate and that kind of focus, you can actually not get yourself into a situation where you don't think you can do it. And that's one thing about meditations, too. Check it out. They also have CDs, and they also have MP3 downloads that you can actually go to the website and download at www.hemi-sync.com. And they're a fraction of the cost. Most CDs go for $19, $18, but you can actually go there and get them for like $11 and actually be using them in a minute instead of waiting for them to come in the mail. That's another thing, the whole thing. There's also another company that is extremely, that's exclusively, they have a lot of technologies and stuff like that too, that's mostly fundamental. It's called BrainSync. So go to that one, it's www.brainsync.com. They also have MP3 downloads too. And the MP3 downloads are very, they're just as quality as a freaking, just getting a CD. Just the difference is you can actually use it in the minutes. And they have some great ones too that can cover anything. Attract and love, attract more wealth. You know, open your mind, healing. Learn how, that's one thing about these subliminal downloads for Amazon, I think also HemiSync and BrainSync, that they actually have these downloads that can actually speed up your learning, increase your IQ, help you to develop your right side of your brain, your frontal lobe. See, your frontal lobe is the idea of communication and a lot of other things. I can't remember all of them, but I know for a fact the right side of your brain is the idea of where your abilities are at. So therefore, it's one of those things of actually tapping into the brain and actually start using everything that you came here with, gifts, talents, even the idea of your artistic side, you might not know you even had in the first place because that side of the brain has been kind of put down because you've been focusing too much on materialistic stuff. The left side is materialistic, logic. The right side is emotions. And the idea of creativity, you know, all those things that we talk about, the idea of your abilities, psychic abilities, that kind of things like that. So check it out. There's some really great companies. I wouldn't recommend these companies if I hadn't used them myself. I got many CDs from them. I also have a lot of things going on. And right now we're in the tour season. So if you come to Manitou Springs, come to Manitou Springs and also check out all the sites we have here. We have a lot of things. I actually live in a building. It's one of the oldest buildings in Manitou Springs called the Barker House. It's one of the things on the tour side and that kind of stuff like that too as well. And we're actually going to have some information here. We actually have ghost tours through here, that kind of stuff. So therefore, if you're coming here, we can give you all kinds of information that will make your trip really well worth it. And get to know some history in Manitou Springs, which will probably freak you out, but at the same time, it will just enhance your vacation. So give it a shot. Let's see here. I don't think Heather has showed up. No, I don't think Heather has shown up. So therefore, when she does, we'll bring her on as my co-host, and she'll be coming in soon, hopefully. I told her we're having a show Tuesday night, and we do shows Tuesdays and Thursdays, so I'm not really sure. It might be the idea she might be still working, and she'll be here because she has another job. But she'll be popping in, and if you actually come to Manitou Springs and that kind of stuff, go to Patsy's Candy Shop, as well as the fantastic candy and chocolates and that kind of stuff. And that's where Heather works. And she'll be popping in. Maybe she can give you some more information, too, as well. So therefore, you know exactly where it's at, so you can actually get the candy as quick as possible. So let's go out here and check out some people and see what's going on. If you're in the chat room, also, anything about the first time I hear anything come up in that chat room, any kind of profanity or anything, the chat room's done. We don't have to have a chat room. We actually put the chat room up, so therefore, you have this format that you can talk to other people and that kind of stuff and feel a little more relaxed and no pressure, just talk and that kind of stuff. Some people just don't realize their stupid actions, how they have a tendency to really affect other people. It's the idea of realizing that the word single is an illusion because we're all connected. We all come from the same entity. I don't care if you don't believe in God or not. If you're a person that can't walk out the freaking door, look at a freaking tree, look at the process of how that happened, and don't believe there's a God, then that I definitely know for a fact that you do not believe in yourself. Because if you believe in yourself, then you can see the ideal of how powerful you are and that you've created your whole life up to this point. There's a lot of other people out there who have done the same thing, who don't believe. And they've also ended in very, very violent deaths because the ideal of putting themselves into a situation they didn't trust anybody. So therefore, they didn't trust themselves. So therefore, if you can't trust yourself, then you really can't see people for who they are, and they will walk all over you. See, that's the point of the ideal, having confidence in yourself, the ideal believing in yourself, and the ideal taking a moment every day just to accept who you are. Looking in the mirror and saying, that is you. Take your mind away from the situation of thinking there's something missing when there's not. Everything is right there, right in front of you, and the ideal for you to accept. So keep that in mind, too, as well. Because the more, it's like this, we can trust everyone. Just because not everybody's trustworthy doesn't mean we can't trust everyone. Because when we trust everyone, it definitely gives an impression and says, especially for the people on the same line as you are, that means you trust yourself. That's the key. That's what people don't worry about. They don't want to sit there and say these freaking crazy things, not realizing the things they say out of their mouth, they will become a reality. So therefore, think about it before you bring up the idea of even saying it. My life sucks. And then watch what happens that whole freaking week. Everything's going to prove to you that your life does suck. Okay? But on the other note, think about this. Since you created that scenario with just a thought and what you said, then if you change it to a positive statement and positive things you're saying, you can also reverse it just as quick. So keep that in mind, too, as well. So let's get on to our callers and see what's up. Let's go to our first call. But like I said before, I don't want to hear anything of any kind of thing coming through these freaking phone lines and the idea of some craziness. I don't want to hear about the Will Smith scenario, about the Prince of Bel-Air and those things like that, too, as well. Because all you're doing is ruining the format. You're taking time away from the situation of where we can actually be sitting down. It's like we'll put it to you like this. We believe in people's lives so strongly. It's like you calling the hospital and interfering with a surgery by telling the surgeon that you're the wife and one of the kids has died. And it's just a practical joke. But by you taking away that surgeon from that surgery, that person died. And I just do feel like in some ways you are responsible because you're the one, you were the thing that was the distraction. So think about that. It's the same scenario here. We're really putting ourselves in a position of helping people out. Okay, so let's go to area code 313. Welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your name?
Hello. This is Dwight.
Well, how are you?
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. So if there's any way you can speak up or anything like that, it'd be great.
Yes, I was on my Bluetooth. Problems with that.
Okay, no problem. So what's your name?
My name is Dwight.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes. Yes. So what's your name?
Dwight.
Where are you calling from, Dwight?
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan. That's right above where I'm from, Ohio. You know, at the state, Michigan, Ohio, the idea of the rivalry between Ohio State and the Bulldogs. Woo! Okay. Anyway. So how can we talk? So how can we help you today?
Oh, you were in Ohio. Uh-oh.
I was in Ohio. I moved. I had to get away from that craziness because the idea of, sometimes I've always thought, I don't know how you believe about Michigan, but it seems like in some ways Pennsylvania, Ohio are pretty negative places because all people talk about is their surgeries, how they lost their job, how their life stinks, to the point where they're not really opening up, giving any space to any kind of solution or even the thought about what they want. They keep thinking about the things they've gone through, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So what's your question for tonight?
Well, I've seen something here about Atlantis. Some type of path, like reading for Atlantis.
Uh-huh.
I was just curious. Yeah,
So you're curious about a past life that you had and the idea of what it was like and that kind of stuff. Where I get, realistically, what I get with you is the idea of living in New York City about 1912. I can see you wearing one of those freaking crazy hats and working in the hotel. And I can also see the ideal, what's the name of that hotel? Oh. Yeah, I can see the picture of it too as well.
I thought that was quick. That was a really quick response.
Mm-hmm. You should see people when they come to my shop. They're just like, whoa, okay, hold up. We can usually cover about three of them for reading, but I'm just saying that's what I get. It's like one of those, if you ever seen back in the early turn of the century when they had the hats, they were round and they put them in the bellhops. And it seems like you're just like you're like a person that has a lot of energy. You're all over the place. You're just doing all kinds of stuff. It's like you're really always going beyond and beyond, you know, going beyond, and always helping everyone out and that kind of stuff too. Seems like you're really into Marvel for some reason. Marvel keeps coming up in that time frame too as well. I can see like the real Marvel, brown kind of speckles and that kind of stuff like that. So it's almost like the idea of seeing you actually being in the hotel. And the floor, they have a marble floor there. Well, they did then.
Oh,
I thought he still did, but I don't think it's a different variation. Because it's got, not tiles, but it's got big slabs of marble.
That's interesting. You said 1800s? 1912.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, huh? Mm. So, I don't know. I was trying to see how everything ties up, but I guess that.
The idea of being around Marvel that resonates with you. Do some research in 1912 about the ideal hotels in New York, and see which one resonates with you. Might point out some more things with you in this lifetime. Or the idea of helping you either look at the situation or why you do certain things and why you are the way you are. The idea of being scared of heights.
Oh, shoot. Wow. Oh, yeah, that's one. That was weird. I just thought about that the other day. I haven't thought about it in a long time, how I was afraid of heights. And how I got over it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes kind of sense. I didn't commit any suicide. I might have committed suicide.
I don't get the impression you committed suicide. I get the impression that you were actually murdered by being pushed off on the landings of the hotel. So to help you out, I don't see a suicide connection at all. I get the impression you have a tendency to trust people too much sometimes when you should listen to yourself. And it seemed like in that situation you didn't listen to yourself and put yourself in an awkward situation of getting into an argument with a coworker and being shut off a balcony.
Coworker.
So it helps you understand the scared of heights.
Yeah.
It also shows the ideal. Maybe it's the ideal of having an out-of-body experience before you passed on in that lifetime, too, as well, where people were thinking you committed suicide. So that was sticking with you when you came in this past life, where it's almost like you wanted to find out for sure, so therefore you could just dismiss that to realize that's why you're scared of heights. But you do have a tendency that you don't like people talking about you.
I really couldn't get the last thing, but you.
No, I sat there and said, I'm saying you could have had it. I said you could have been. It's like the idea of it, being pushed off a balcony and dying, but having an out of body experience while you're there, and you hear people talking, and it's like carrying a memory with you, because people were thinking that you committed suicide. But it also helps you understand what you were in the process of finding answers out. To realize why you're scared of heights is because of that fear too as well. and you don't like people talking about you.
No. Okay.
Crazy,
that,
huh?
Okay, that. Wow, I wonder why that was brought up, the New York thing. Huh. So.
Well, it's okay.
I'm thinking also, well, it's pretty weird that the thing with heights was brought up, because I feel like I got over it when I was younger. I took he was on the you know, the demon drop, and
yeah,
on the roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Kind of get over it, but I guess not completely, because I wanted to get into a sport called parkour.
Yeah.
Gymnastics, mountaineering, and stuff like that. And I feel like maybe that happened in the past life, but or that was just always like that, you know, jumping around the place.
I'm just saying, sometimes you have to realize when you're not. Some people are not really scared of heights; they're scared of that sudden fall, and that's what you got when you were falling off of balcony.
That's so cool, because I'm into like past life therapy with, you know, like Unarius and stuff. I'm quite sure you possibly got that information from you know, like my guides and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Well, you sort of start looking at things and things start resonating with you, but it does help you let go of, you know, those things too as well.
Yes.
That's why I like it so much, is because most of the time we usually ask people when we do therapy, is the idea of asking a question or focusing on a certain insecurity or something like that, and then asking their the way I do it is we do a regression when we do the therapy thing. We do the regression, and we actually get you to the point where you're really relaxed, even to the point where you could actually feel yourself being light. And then we ask two archangels to come in, your favorite angels to come in to escort you back to the past life of what you're focusing on. So it's like if you can't trust people, or the idea of being stabbed in the back and that kind of stuff is always something on your mind, it's the idea of taking you back to a past life. I had one of those too, where actually took me back to Egypt, where I was actually stabbed in the back by a best friend, and the ideal of some kind of takeover, I guess you would say, where I was actually a guard for the pharaoh. And this guy stabbed me in the back. And it was kind of funny how I could describe certain things within this regression of things I'd never even seen before. But it did help me let go of the situation of realizing that the people that were the closest to me sometimes at that moment were the ones I didn't trust the most because of that one situation. So once that phobia was gone, I was able to trust people again and trust myself. That's the whole thing, too. We usually get crazy because we have to trace it back to ourselves. We have to look at the situation very clearly and say, you know, something, there was something intuitionally telling you about that person. That's what's sticking with you the most, that you didn't listen to yourself. So once you sit there and realize what happened in that past life, and you start listening to yourself, you start trusting yourself, so therefore it's easier to trust people. Because we've gotten arguments with people before where they said, well, you can't trust everybody. I say, yes, you can, because when you trust everyone, they have a tendency to show the true colors quicker because they think they can get over on you. They don't realize you're reading them like a book. So therefore, that's why it's one of the things about I felt like was so good about the past lives. It was the ideal. The more of those blockages we can get rid of, the more we can actually see our guidance. So therefore, we can trust ourselves and see the situations as clear as possible, which we can actually make better decisions too as well. So you have any questions?
Free ourselves, and that's cool, because
that's the key. Yeah, freeing ourselves is, that's the fun thing about it. It's freeing people from something that's just a thought in their head, a memory.
It really helps when because it makes sense about, you know, irrational trust issues. I was, and at that point, you know, you were just talking about trust, you know, before you open up to the line. And about if you could trust others, you trust yourself. So we all like basically the same. I did have irrational things. Mm-hmm. it's a lot of inspiration too, because I don't know, I tend to like kind of not believe in this stuff for some crazy reason, because I believe in it the most, but at the same time I question like, okay, where is it going? What are we doing and everything? But then like stuff like this, you know, really good demonstration of these things.
Yeah, the biggest part about people too is the idea of trying to find facts and things to go with them. A lot of people do find proof of these things. I've had people actually come back to me and say they actually found the information and stuff. Like I have just did a reading for someone who said she saw a little girl in her backyard, a spirit. And I told her I thought the spirit was from a certain time in a certain area, and she actually found information saying there was certain things in that area at that time. It was a guy who had started a corporation, that kind of stuff, and we just felt like it was his daughter because it was right in the time frame. Everything was just right there and everything else, too, as well. It's like trying to help people understand spirits, too. Spirits, sometimes you might be in a home that nothing ever happens, that it happened before you got there. But see, there's certain energies that have a tendency to awaken certain spirits within you. Like if you have a spirit that's a reoccurring spirit, I think it's a real spirit of a person who's caught in a loop. Those ones we talk about all the time where it's like they don't know they're dead. They just keep repeating the same thing over and over again.
Uh-huh.
Those are, yeah, all those things in too, and it's like it's amazing that sometimes those kind of impressions will go dormant for a while. It's like, for example, the house in New York, the Amityville Horror House. There's a lot of people who said that was a hoax. I don't think so, but there are some, because what they base it on is like, oh, people have been in that house and that kind of stuff, and nothing's ever happened. Or there's people living in the house now, nothing's ever happened. But then again, that doesn't mean there's no connection. There probably isn't no connection to the people that were in there before, so therefore you don't have those kind of things. But then if you read the book about the Amityville Horror and actually seen the movie, what happened there was the guy who came into the house looked like the guy who actually caused the murders 2 years before or 3 years before, and that was the connection. Okay, there was certain things about the certain situations. We could have even have past lives that needed to relive some things. So that whole scenario was created. But a lot of people say, you know, hoaxes and that kind of stuff. There's actually a situation right now where a guy says, he says, there's actually a part of your brain that you can stimulate that you can see ghosts and spirits. Now, what he's saying is it's an illusion. And I came back and said, but you're not looking at both sides of the equation. You might be tapping into someone's brain that they're actually seeing entities and spirits and stuff. But see, your perception will say they don't exist. So you're going to So what you're going to do is you're going to put your beliefs into your discovery and say, no, they're just seeing illusions. They're seeing things I'm creating within their brain. And people don't realize the brain is like a receptor, okay? It's a receptor. It's bringing things up. It's bringing things in, that kind of stuff. But it's like anything else, like a vacuum cleaner. A vacuum cleaner can't suck up dirt that's not there. So the brain can't see or conceive things that are not there. So he's trying to say we're stimulating the brain so they don't see anything. But realistically, with this freaking argument, one thing you can't do until we can tap into the other world and tap into that dimension, you really can't disprove it or prove it. So it's amazing how people try to do that. So I think we should sit there and do one thing, focusing on the things that do work and how they enhance our lives and go that route instead of everybody trying to dismiss, approve, not approve, or whatever, because it's a waste of time. Because it's basically ego going crazy saying, I'm right and you're wrong. And that's not what spirituality is about. It's not what these things, these concepts and these therapies are about. It's the idea of helping people to clear out blockages, clear the mind, get rid of the clutter that doesn't work, which means thoughts that no longer serve you, to the point where you can actually enhance, balance your chakras, fix your aura, realize that those dark patches are just missing energy so you can re-energize, and then you can connect with your abilities. The more you connect with your abilities, the more you connect with spirit. The more you connect with spirit, which means you're on the same level as the angels, you can hear your guidance as clear as a bell, so therefore you can make better choices. And you'll know, maybe it's not the idea of making better choices, it's the idea of knowing definitely what's good for you because of the information and the guidance that's been given to you. Not because most humans have a tendency to have a motive, which usually serves them more than anything else. But your angels and guides, one thing about them is that the only motivation they have is you.
Right.
Sorry.
I just I just thought about, yeah, it's all individualistic. It's united, but I just read about, you know, the small voice, the small still voice,
uh-huh.
kind of all the same message is not for everybody.
That's what I was saying before. Just because one person sees the ghost and another person doesn't mean the ghost is not there.
Right.
It's just two individuals. It's two individuals seeing through a different perception.
Right.
What they perceive.
It's like,
I agree with you.
Like, it's just like, go to the left. Some people are supposed to go to, you know, the left. But some people, you know,
mm-hmm.
are supposed to stay there, you know.
Most definitely. Man, I believe that. Yeah, that's why I do readings. I do readings and try to treat it like not using statistics and groups and that kind of stuff, but you're looking at the individual and realize everybody's different.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and try to sit there and understand that.
It really helps to understand, too, like, the process, like,
mm-hmm.
How we all grow so gradually. Some people are supposed to be, you know, kind of, you know, they better off in the material world to a certain extent because they're, that's where their development will be for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kind of forget that, because it's like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, we're supposed to be moving forward and all that, but. It's like cycles and stuff like cycles. The beginning from a point A to B. Some people point B. Just a long process of going from where they at to a certain point that might take somebody else no time to get over. The material world and the science and the logical side of the brain and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of confuses everything, though, because I feel like I'm trapped in, like, both worlds, you know, trying, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, which way to push, like, you know, kind of like working with everything, you know, I guess. I have a question.
Huh? I was just saying, go with the flow.
I have another a fear that I don't know. It's like that's what was weird about the heights. And I'm more afraid of the dark. I would wonder, like, was I always some type of mystic or? Because that was brought up. I know I was, it's just a spiritual stuff, but it don't happen all the time, but I automatically tune in to like the spiritual world if I'm in the dark. And usually it's not positive vibes, maybe it's just myself. But
uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I thought about. I thought about this really like a couple of days ago, how I got over my fear of heights when I was younger by going down on the drink demon drop and like just saying, okay, if I'm going to die, I also want to enjoy it, you know. I also want to like live to the full.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, okay, with fear of anything that comes to the dark or anything like the dark side, I just also want to take it head on. But I guess it might be a psychological issue with me, with like the dark or something.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Hmm. No, to tell you the truth, I actually pick up something totally different.
Totally different. Like.
Like. Hold on, I was looking for something. I'm thirsty, so give me a break. I'm trying to get some. I'm trying to get some. I don't know. Sometimes I'm thirsty. And plus, lately I've been. I know I get thirsty, and I should be concerned about it, especially when I start getting headaches. It's forms of dehydration. So. No, actually, the picture I picked up on the whole thing, I picked it up. Actually, I was listening to you talk about the idea of being scared of the dark, and I kind of picking up this idea of the situation, and I kind of getting this freaking craziness about being buried in a coffin.
Alive? I was out of body.
From what I can see, yes, I would definitely say be alive, because I feel like I can get a lot of tension, a lot of freaking out, scared, even to the idea of trying to dig yourself out.
Whoa, I just, that pretty much, that took me in, what you just said, that, like, channeled my mind to something, because, I just made a shift in consciousness when you said that. Yeah, so it might be in a scenario when you were, wow.
I would sit here and say one thing, too. The impression I also got, too, was the idea was intentional.
Oh, man. Whoa. People are dirty. That I was buried alive. Okay, so I wonder what kind of person I was then. I was getting into so much trouble.
it's the idea, of getting in trouble, but also putting yourself in a situation where sometimes you talk too much. You tell people things that you shouldn't tell people. You know, it's like the idea of getting a big sum of money and not realizing the process of bragging about it. Other people are listening to it who don't have good intentions.
Yeah.
And that's the way it comes off to me. Well, it was really nice talking to you, and I think we should go into some other callers, but please keep in touch, and if you ever want to sit down and do a session or something like that, please feel free to do so. And I was actually thinking about giving the information out here as soon as we get done talking to you. But it's interesting stuff, so I would definitely take that into consideration and let a lot of it resonate with you and see where it takes you. Because most of the time, people have a tendency to pick up on suppressed memories from those past lives where they can fill in the blanks. You know, filling the holes and that kind of stuff. So, therefore, see what happens. And it'd be great if you come back to the show and tell us about all about it.
I'll use that call back to tell you what,
Yeah, let it resonate with you for a while, like a couple of weeks or so, and then come back and tell us what you pick up on and share with the audience,
yeah.
If you would. Okay?
Okay, sure. Thanks. I appreciate everything.
Oh, you're welcome. It was really nice meeting you, and thank you for calling in. And you have a great night, and have a great 4th of July, okay?
Thanks. You too.
Okay, bye-bye now. Let's see. Oh, by the way, we're going to get out the information. The information there is, the information to give a hold of me for a private reading is 740-500-8863, or you contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. We have a July special going on this month, where you can actually get 5 30-minute sessions for $100. Those sessions are great for the idea of working on manifestational skills, your chakras, auras, or if you just want to use them for readings and the idea of a progress of a situation, relationships, and stuff. Sometimes you just need those things so you can get the most insight. Sometimes people can only deal with like 30 minutes anyway, so it gives you time to recuperate, and the idea that you have those readings at your disposal so you can do whatever you want to do. And you can do one a month, one a week, whatever works for you. That's 5 30-minute sessions for $100. And the phone number again is 740-500-8863 for a private reading, or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Or else, if you're coming to Manitou Springs or you live in the Colorado Springs or live in the area around Manitou Springs and Colorado Springs, and you'd like to come visit the shop, we do have a shop in Manitou Springs, Colorado, at 946½ Manitou Avenue. Right across from Mushroom Mondays, right next to the Flying Eagle. And it was actually between the Santa Fe Springs building and the Flying Eagle's T T-shirt shop and right across from Bus Show Mondays. Okay, we're on the main stretch, Manitou Avenue, so when you come in, can't miss it. We have a little shop down there where you can actually do readings and that kind of stuff, and the readings are going for relationship readings are $35, angel card readings are $30, past life readings are $30, palm readings are only $10, and if you're under 12, your palm reading will only be $5. We also have group rates and that kind of stuff, so therefore you're going to bring down a bunch of people and that kind of stuff like that. Depending on how many people you have and that kind of stuff, we can actually work with you in the situation. Those prices are just where we start. But we have no problem being a little bit flexible with the situation. So therefore, you know, I always say, if you had a backbone to ask, do it. I have not turned anybody down. I have not said no to anybody. So therefore, throw it out there. You might be surprised. You might get exactly what you want and pay exactly what you want to pay. So therefore, try that out, okay? So if you're in the Colorado Springs area, Manitou Springs area, just really know what you're like in Denver. If you're in Denver and places like that and you come down from time to time, come down and visit us. If you're on right now and you can hear us and you're in a different state and thought about where would I like to go vacation at and you want to go to Manitou Springs, Colorado, do so and then make sure you stop by and say hi and get a reading from us too as well. And we're at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. It's actually called, there's a sign above the door, it says Psychic Ex Journeyman. But the name of the shop, which we also have that on there too, is, you'll see a couple of banners I have on there where it talks about it's a Psychic Ex-Journeyman's Mystic Closet Psychic Shop. So come join us. It's a really cool place. People just love it. The kids have a tendency to just kind of sit in the chairs because they like the energy that well. So keep that in mind, too, as well. So give us a call if you want to make an appointment before you come in, too, as well. 740-500-8863. Okay, let's go on to our next caller, which is actually area code 505. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
I'm good, thank you. Good evening, Jolena.
Jolena, where are you calling from? Jolena.
New Mexico.
New Mexico. You're close where I'm at, Colorado.
Yes, uh-huh.
So, how can we help you tonight?
I have a question about my upcoming court hearing with my ex-husband about child custody. I mean, it's already been settled, but he's bringing me back again, bringing a lot of false allegations, fighting for full custody. So, I mean, like I said, it's mostly lies. So I just wanted to know, what do you feel about the outcome, though?
And does he also pay child support?
He does pay child support, yes. And I guess, like I said, it's mostly money motivation is why he's doing this. I mean, he wanted to claim him,
almost,
you know, asking for taxes, you know, and then now he wanted a full custody.
Yeah, it's all about money and the idea of what he doesn't want to pay. He doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Also, I get the impression he likes doing this too as well. It's not just, it's money is the motivator, okay, but it's also a form of control. He wants to control the situation. He wants to control you, even the idea of the children and everything goes along with it. He thinks he has the right to do that. And that's the thing you're working for too as well. But, you know, it seems like with the situation, it's amazing how a man will keep going down that route when it's never worked.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That is true.
It's never worked. It's never worked in his favor. And then I just don't think it's, from what I can pick up with the situation, it's not going to. It's not going to change.
Okay. So you don't see any changes in the custody? Because right now it's joint, and he wanted to do full custody. And I think, like I said, it's all about the money. He didn't want to pay child support, and taxes is what he wanted.
He pays taxes? What does it mean?
Well, he wanted to claim him on taxes, though. That's why, that's the part of the thing he's bringing it up to court, that he want to be able to claim the child at least every other year. But, I mean, if you look at the IRS rules, I have the child majority of the time. I have I'm the one that has the rights.
Yeah, when you figure it out, you have the child more than 6 months of the year.
Yes.
And that's what usually works, too, in the ideal 6 months. If he can actually prove that he's actually had that child and he's custody and he's cared for 6 months, then he can actually go for the tax thing. But there's no freaking basis for that.
I see. Yeah,
I know. Like you said, the motivation for money here is the ideal of clouding this guy who can't see logic and some of the things right in front of his face, to the point where I do feel like there's some people around him telling him the same thing, that he's barking up the wrong tree in the idea of a situation. It's just a waste of time when everybody else could actually be having fun and living their lives instead of being in court.
That is true. I thought I was done.
It's like the government. And so, like, we don't like paying them all the time. Then why do you? You know? So that's
true.
What this is all about. Just paying money.
I thought I was done with this custody battle, but he's bringing me back again for all kinds of allegations. You know, he's saying that the kids are falling apart, grades, and it's not even true. You know, I have all the documentations, and like I said, a bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see any changes
in
the arrangement?
No, I didn't. I would just wish we could get this whole thing out, because when you look at it, it's like going to a play, and the chairs you're sitting in are really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Theatrics.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? So it's the idea of the situation. What can you do? I don't see anything. Well, to get down to the chase, it's like I don't see anything changing.
I see.
There's just too much.
I do. He's on a probation, you know, because of the domestic violence that he had, you know, during the divorce. And I want to bring up some issues there that he's violating some violations, you know, not probation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, you know, if that would really affect the custody, whether he's going to even supervise the visitation and have him get his act straight up first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's been drinking and he's on a probation.
Oh.
I want to bring that up.
I mean, I can understand why you want to bring it up, because really, it can be dangerous when he drinks.
It's so corrupt here in the state of New Mexico. I called the probation officer, and he said that he tested him, and he said that, in fact, he's clean. I don't believe that, because my child actually did see a bunch of liquor in his house.
Mm-hmm.
So,
What kind of test do they do to find? I mean, is he just doing a regular drug test or what?
Yeah.
I mean, alcohol is different. Alcohol can be out of your system in 24 hours.
Yeah, he also do drugs too as well. And like I said, you know, I was surprised that he's coming out cleaning. I don't believe the probation officer, because back in February he went to court and I challenged to do a drug testing, and he was actually positive for drugs. And I called the probation officer, give that information. They were shocked. I says, how do you all know this? Well, because I said, we just got done from court. So it's a slap on their face. They're not doing their job. But I want to bring that up. I'm just really concerned.
Before you bring the thing up again, I would actually try to get another surprise drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would actually be more concrete for the foundation.
Okay.
And it would work really well. But, you know, it's one of those things where you feel like that everything that you already know and all the evidence and everything you have, you've done your work. And I don't feel
change. I've been so busy for the last few months gathering all the documentations, you know, for the hearing. it's a lot of work.
I'm just saying, if you want to go, I mean, it seems like one of those things about the situation is a person like you should be going for full custody.
That's probably what
This is kind of a good example of looking at people and saying, your husband, your ex-husband's not the problem. He's actually the answer. Because, see, he's saying he wants to go for full custody. It's a reflection back at you that you should be doing the same. Because, realistically, the person who should have full custody is definitely not the person who's actually claiming he should. So that's a reflection back at you that says, that you should definitely have that full custody, because you are doing the work.
That makes sense,
You do everything.
I think I should go for that, really. Yeah. Well,
you know something,
when
I look at the situation, I would say yes. Huh?
Uh-huh. I have another question.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to bring him back for the interim support, you know, 2 years ago that he didn't comply to. So do you think we're going to succeed getting that money? Because right now the state is getting involved. They're asking if he's behind on child support. Well, his you mean if I look at this way, he didn't pay for what's ordered in the past, the interim. So I want to gather all those paperwork, and I want to bring that up. Do you think we'll be able to collect that?
When it comes to me, I do.
What is it?
No, I said from what I can pick up, it's yes. Yes, you can. You will.
Oh, wow. That would be good. Yeah, during the divorce, they ordered an interim support, and he's only paying a quarter of what's ordered. So I thought that was already been wiped off, but the state wanted to get involved in asking for that. Well, that's very, you know, uplifting, though. I've been very stressed about over this for the last, I mean, it's summer, you know, I should be enjoying it, time off with my children.
Well,
that's
true, yeah.
I'm very stressed. I'm very stressed over this.
I get the impression I keep seeing three children.
Okay.
How many do you have?
I have two children, two boys.
I wonder where the third one's at. Maybe it's the ideal dealing with
a grown child.
I don't know. Now, I was sitting here talking to you, and I kept on picking up on the implication that you should have three children.
Oh.
So I was trying to figure out what that means.
Do you see me getting married again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Any insight, when would that be?
From what I can see of the situation, I keep getting about a year and a half.
Is it the guy what I'm with right now?
You really want to know?
I do want to know, yes. Is that with him, the guy I'm with?
I keep getting a negative no, so I'm like there's impressions that keep coming through. Ask yourself a question if you're allowing yourself to be totally honest with yourself about what's going on between the two of you. So just kind of like take some time to resonate with you, what that means. What would you think about the guy you're with now?
He's actually great. You know, he's a good person, you know, good with my children. And
mm-hmm.
I do want him.
I'm just saying my situation. Sometimes we all have a thing in our head, okay? We always think relationships break up because of some kind of infraction, anger or something like that. But sometimes people just go two different directions just because that's what they're just destined to go two different directions. No fighting, no nothing. It just means we're meant for other people. There's not always breakups that happen. It's just the idea of distance. So when they're sitting there focusing on the idea of looking at a situation for what it really is, it's the idea of, are you putting too much into the situation or how good he is? Or is there the idea of feelings and stuff like that too as well? Because a lot of people have a tendency to get really caught up in the compatibility, but forget to ask themselves, do they really like that person in that way? You know what I'm saying?
I see.
So it's one of those situations where you look at it, it talks about the idea of getting married about a year and a half. So therefore, don't worry about it. Just look at things that if it doesn't work out, it's because the universe has a tendency that there's somebody else that you'll be with. If it does work out, it works out. They're just trying to, it was like the message was, just take a look at the situation. It doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's just the idea of forget the compatibility, forget how good he is with your kids, and ask yourself on a personal level, what do you want with him? How do you feel? What's the connection? Can you honestly look at him in the eyes and see him in that passionate way? That's what they're saying. So it's just the idea of looking at a situation. You're saying, this is a great thing. So what they're trying to do is trying to get you to look at it and ask yourself, what do you see? It doesn't mean you won't, but it's just a confirmation that one thing, because it could also be the situation, too, that they also see things where you could get married sooner if you just really embrace the situation a little bit more than you have because of all the things that are going on. So it's like, okay, if you continue to go to court and that kind of stuff, but still try to find time to actually connect with everybody and anything in your life, because the guy that you were with and the one you're having problems with in court has basically put you in positions where you have doubted yourself. And those doubts have a tendency to come up.
That's good to know. Yeah. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
All makes sense.
Yeah, some people think, some people always jump in that conclusion, like, okay. So you say I'm not seeing it for what it is? No, I'm saying look at it and see, are you right? Because you know something?
Uh-huh.
You might be. That's the thing. People think that's a pure impression that you don't trust yourself. Because the first thing you thought about was, this is not going to work. What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
When it's actually, no, we're not saying that. We're saying, do you really see what you see? You know, really resonate with it. See how it feels with you. People, when we talk about connections, right, we're not talking about your shoulder connected to a shoulder. We're talking about heart connection. So the easiest way to find out if you really have a heart connection, you will feel a difference, and you will feel it in your chest. It's actually been proven that the heart itself actually has a different frequency than the brain, that it has a memory reaction, certain things, that kind of stuff, like that. You know, it's like the brain, but in a different way, where it's actually more of an attachment to emotions and stuff like that. It has a certain frequency of its own, but it also has a heart chakra too, and that heart chakra has a tendency, when it's open and there is a connection between the two of you, you will feel it in your chest. You won't have to ask yourself the question about it, how he feels about you. That's not all about. It's not your job to try to figure him out. It's the ideal of how it resonates within you. Because if it resonates in a very positive way, it can only resonate that way because the other person that you're connected to is also as positive. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we just want you to look at the situation and what you feel. Not what you see, but what you feel with him. And then see what you feel like is real with the situation.
That all makes sense. Well, thank you so much, though. You know, I really enjoyed, talking with you.
Oh, you're welcome.
We'll
no problem. And, you know, I always invite people to get private sessions because the ideal, I do relationship counseling, relationship readings and stuff like that. And it's the ideal that those kind of sessions are for just to when you are having infractions within yourself and trying to figure out maybe you can't connect. We can actually teach you techniques on how to clear your chakra, because there are some residue in your heart chakra because of the person you're still connected to. And that's the one thing with the ideal of resonance with this situation, the court cases and that kind of stuff. It's almost like a person, the dude, has a hard time letting go of this thing emotionally. So he creates these situations. That's why he has a drug problem, drinking problem, because he doesn't deal with emotions very well.
Yes, yeah. Well, I will follow you, And I know, I think you have a special going on too, right?
Right. I just tell people all the time, I love to do readings with people. I tell people that we have prices and that kind of stuff, but I tell people all the time, if you come to me and you have a way of paying for something, PayPal, whatever, and you have a budget that goes a little bit lower than my prices, I have no problem working with people on anything because I feel like the sessions are more important anyway.
And I appreciate it, yeah.
And if you want to come back to the show and fill us in on how these things are going and that kind of stuff, that's great, too. Love to hear from you. Love hearing from people. Want to come back and go, hey, what's up? And I'm going, hey, you came back.
Yeah.
Because we like to, we like to have the interaction with people and that kind of stuff to see where their lives are at. We like to have a little confirmation with things, too, as well. It helps us keep going in the same direction so we know we're going good.
We'll do that. Yeah.
But like I said before, just one thing I want you to do, too, is go home and look in the mirror and realize that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that nobody can interfere with that. Nobody. And he tries.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Will do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, we'll follow you then. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great weekend. I don't know what you have planned for the 4th, but have a great time.
You do the same thing.
All right. You guys have a great night, okay?
And you too. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes this computer drives me freaking crazy. All right. Let's go on to area code 561. Area code 561, you are on the air right now. So how are you? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Tracy.
Your name is Tracy? Where are you from?
Florida.
Where about in Florida?
West Palm Beach.
Oh, okay, nice. From what I've heard, it's a nice place. I mean, I've actually been in the Sarasota area more than many things. You know, Sarasota and Bradenton, and I was in Daytona for a while. Used to frequently go to Jacksonville, Florida. But never been to West Palm Beach. We used to have a company, when I was in Maryland, they had another office in West Palm Beach, I think. But that's about as close as I got.
Mm-hmm.
I feel kind of disappointed. I guess maybe it should be time to go to West Palm. Anyway, but how can we help you out tonight?
I wanted to know what you saw coming up for me this month. It's been, like, stagnant last month.
Well, from what I can pick up so far, is the idea of last month, that's just, I guess you would sit here and look at the situation like this, night and day, where you feel like a lot of positive things are, so this, actually, I get the impression summer, but you're definitely going to see some changes. Actually, I keep getting the impression it should be within the next 2 weeks. What's the one thing you're focusing on right now?
Korea.
Well, they said they keep focusing on the situation. You should be focusing on yourself and the idea of what do you really want to do, not the idea of what's going to solve the problem. Because actually, they keep talking about you are the one who's going to solve the problem. Not the idea of having a job. So it's the idea of stepping back and looking at the situation. I've had a lot of arguments with people who say, you know, I can't be abundant and prosperous unless I have money. Basically, you have to be abundant and prosperous within your mind, within your soul, within your, how you feel about yourself before you can actually attract that. And most people have a tendency to think about the idea of a weekly job. They think of having a job as the ideal, that's the truth. And they think that they call it having a real job. My mom used to get on my case about this all the time, the idea of doing psychic work and work and that kind of stuff and working for myself, that I should have given it up and actually work for a real job where the security is. And I said, well, let's take a look at the situation of security in a real job. My boss could walk in tomorrow and maybe not like the shoes I'm wearing and fire me right there. So what's the security of working for somebody else? The idea of creating a business is something that you create, you have control completely of. It also points out to you when you do businesses, the reason people are so gravitated to working and creating businesses of their own, because it's an extension of who they are, their personality, their essence, the idea of creation, their creativity. So therefore, they have full control over it. But it also teaches oneself that when they do that and they create this business, they also realize how fantastic they are, because it wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't have had the thought and the intention and the vision to do it. And it's the same thing everything else. I'm not knocking people who work for companies and that kind of stuff and work. If that's their vision, their dream of working for certain companies and management and that kind of stuff, great. But that's also their vision. But you got to look at the situation, what's going to be good for you. I went through this for a very long time, and the idea of trying to listen to everybody else and say, hey, you know, I'm, as we call it, the world creeping in and telling you what they think is best for you, and you try to live up to those expectations, which means you're trying to find a job. You think that the only avenue that there is out there for money to come into your life is through a job. I'm not realizing that's not true. I have an affirmation I say all the time. Money comes to me today and in every way. Almost like saying I'm a money magnet. We try to use the affirmation. It's not the idea of being obsessive and focusing on money itself. What we're trying to do is saying that we are a magnet, that we can attract everything we can to us. And realistically, if you look at the situation, I was talking to someone the other day about it, because they were sitting there going, you know, why are chakras and auras, energy work so important? Because everything else out there is energy. And when you're certain, when your life, and when you are on a certain frequency yourself, and you're very happy, you should notice that in your life you attract things to you very easily, because you're on the same frequency as those things are. It's the idea, like telling people flat out, you can't sit there and say you hate money, and then get mad because you don't have any. Because the hate that you're putting out there is negative energy. So basically what it's doing, it's actually propelling money. All the opportunities that could be coming to you, they're all being reflected because of that energy you're putting out there is negativity, projecting, okay? But when you're happy with yourself and you have this very high frequency of energy, you feel good about yourself. And you also realize that it's amazing how things just kind of have a tendency to come to me so easily. It's because your resistance is down and you're just allowing things to happen because you're so happy and content, and you have, usually at that moment too, you have a lot of belief in yourself. And you just feel like you've had those moments before where you feel like there's nothing you could do wrong. And you're just like, whoa, this is great. You keep doing it. If we could just keep that format, then we would see that we could have abundance and prosperity in our lives every day. But then we have a tendency to will creep in and say, you know, maybe, you know, what was the one thing I saw before? You got to pay your dues before you can actually get that kind of life. I'm sitting there going, but see, that's a human concept. It's some dumbass who had to do all these crazy things, and then he finally got successful, so he thinks everybody should live that way. So he'll sit there and tell you, through his own perception, of how you should do it, not realizing there's probably something within yourself right now going, that doesn't ring true to me. I feel like there's an easier way. So what you need to do is let down your resistance to realize every good thing that you ever wanted will come to you. And what your job is, they're always saying, well, you got to do something. Yeah. You got to open your arms to receive it. When an opportunity comes to you, you got to confidently accept it. That's your part. But the first thing you do is you put an intention out there. I seen a lady do this before who had a job. She liked working for a company. She liked being a manager. So things wasn't working out quite the way she wanted to, so she went home, got a pad and pencil, and wrote down exactly what she felt like a manager was, the definition of a manager to her. She also wrote down the kind of job she really wanted to work, the kind of people she wanted to work with. This girl got so descriptive, she even got down to the point of describing the neighborhood she wanted to live in. What's so funny about it was, 2 weeks later, she got two job proposals from two companies that she never applied for. But the job description she put down as a manager, mm-hmm. those two companies, that's what they had. That's the description of the manager. The management position they had was that with the description. And she actually accepted one of those freaking proposals, and she actually got everything she described, even down to the neighborhood. That's what she lived. So it was actually pointing out to her that everything, there's actually a book out there I wanted to get because it's called Write It Down and Make It Happen. And it's one of those things that the power of intention can be increased by, it was a technique where what you do is you get down and you start writing your desires, what you want, in pencil. Okay, and then you get a black marker with one of those little pointy tips, and then you go back over everything you wrote in the black marker. What it does, it really reinforces it in your mind to the point where you believe it and you let it go, and then it happens. People have a tendency to, there's like a double-edged sword with the letting go word, because most people think when I say let go, they think, oh, give up. No, I didn't say give up. I would have said give up. I said let go. And there's actually a saying, it says let it go and allow it to happen, which means you take your hands off the whole thing. Because it's like a letter. If you don't mail a letter, you never get an answer. So you got to let go of that letter. It doesn't matter when you mail that letter what kind of response you're going to get. The point is, if you don't let that letter go and mail it, you'll never get a response, and you'll always be wondering. So why not put the intentions out there and see what happens? But okay. Basically make it, I'm just saying, make the intention what you want, what you need, what you desire, not what the world tells you. Because most people go out there and go, for example, I was telling this guy, Joe, he used to drive me crazy because he was the most negative man I've ever met in my life. And I was sitting there saying, Joe, how much are you worth? And he goes, $15 an hour. I said, no, Joe, you don't get the question. I'm asking you, how much do you think you're worth? He goes, I could probably get a job and probably make about $16 an hour. I said, Joe, you're not getting the concept. I'm asking you, how much do you think you're worth? I don't care what the people in the world says. I'm asking Joe, how much do you think you're worth? He looked at me in the face. He goes, how much do you think you're worth? $10 million. He goes, well, that's a little bit over thing. You'll never get that. Who says? So we were sitting in a job. Listen to this. We're sitting in one of those job labor places in Florida, in Daytona. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to some friends around this table. And I always have my spiritual books. And I always read the affirmations and stuff in the books. And I'm just sitting there reading and reading, and got this vision in my head. They're going to call me It's a job labor. It's someone a spot labor place where you wait until they send you out a job. So I'm sitting there, I'm sitting there going, I'm not sitting there hoping I'll get a job. I have my mind. I'm sitting there focusing and saying, I would picture the guy behind the counter standing up and saying, you're going out, and you're going out at my table. That's what I would focus on the whole time. And every day I would always go out and work. Okay, so Joe's sitting at our table, and he's telling us, it's 2 weeks before Christmas. We're not going to get any jobs. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. No, no, no. I was like, Joe, do me a favor. And he goes, what? I said, go sit at the negative table. Do you know that as soon as Joe got up from that table and sit at the negative table, they called my table to go out? That's the difference between positive energy and negative energy. And sometimes people think you're being rude, but you're just honoring yourself by not listening to that, because here's a guy who's not respecting himself. In the process of not respecting himself, he's disrespecting everybody else. So all we did was clear the clutter of something that was no longer serving us. And as soon as we did that, our lives changed in 2 minutes. So it's the idea of looking at your life and saying, I don't have a job. Maybe you should stop saying, I don't have a job, and start thinking, what kind of job would I like to have? Or what would I really, really want to do? You might see something change very quickly in a positive way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it's going to be a very positive month for you. You just got to sit there and don't let people pull you into their perception. Focus on exactly what you want to do. Because I was telling someone this the other day, where people are saying, well, how do I focus and get rid of the negative? Okay, simple. When you focus on the positive, and that's all you focus on, you've shifted your energy. You're no longer focusing on the negative. It has no energy to live. So what's going to happen with the positive you're focusing on, it will cancel out the negative. You don't have to do nothing, but just shift your focus. Okay?
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I'm hoping to help you out, because I feel like just by shifting that energy, I feel like you're going to have a really great month, not just a great month, but a great summer, where you're going to be really thinking about how bad things were compared to how great they are now. Okay?
Okay.
So do you have one more question before you go?
What do you pick up on love?
Well, what comes to me is the idea that you have a love interest about 2 weeks after you take care of the job situation.
Mm.
And don't focus on what happened before. Don't focus on anything that's ever happened before, any kind of infractions and bad relationships. Because, see, you already changed your shifting to a positive to get a job, or maybe a career, or maybe a business. You don't want to change that by focusing on negative things that happen in a relationship, because that's what's going to happen. I have a client right now who had a bad relationship, and it was kind of funny that when she focused on the relationship, things went bad at work. But as soon as she stopped focusing on the relationship and basically let the guy go, she was offered for a promotion. Just that quick. So the thing is, it's the ideal. If you're going to focus on the ideal, what you really want to do as a career and a job, that kind of stuff, I've always sat there and said this before. When you start focusing on your life purpose, you have a tendency to attract a life partner. And my biggest thing, too, is I don't like people sitting there going, is it long-term? I'm sitting there going, okay, we're focusing on spirit and the answer and what you really want. And I hope you're not focusing on short-term relationships, because I feel like what you're focusing on, you'll get long-term relationship. I feel like it's one of those things that's coming up to the point where maybe you didn't think it'd ever happen, but for some reason I feel like it's going to happen very soon.
Okay.
So don't be surprised what happens this summer, because I feel like you're going to be very happy in the fall.
Don't
underestimate yourself, okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mhm. I'm serious. Don't underestimate yourself. When you start writing down, I mean, right now, start your desire list. Put your boyfriend on there, too. What you want. What you
okay.
want in
a job. Okay, I'm definitely going to do that. I did that, like, and everything on the list I put, I checked it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it that one time. I never did it again. I need to, when I get up, I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I always tell people, flat out, what you do is you write your desire list. Don't hold back. I mean, ask, you know, put down on what you really want, what you need, what you desire, and then sit there and go over it and read it. three times a day.
Okay.
And then don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody what you're trying to do. Unless it's, you know, what it says in his own book, it says just talk to spirit, talk to God. Because he has nothing but the best interest for you. But people don't always have that kind of motivation.
Oh, no.
Therefore, why deal with other people's energy? So you just focus on the whole thing. This is your project about you and yourself and that kind of stuff. And like you said before, you've already had some really good positive things happen. So therefore, you have memories, too, that you can work with you as you write this thing, that you've done it before and you can do it again. I've done it before, too. Mm-hmm. I'll sit there and go, I did this once before and I deserve to do it again. And then a week later, it happened. So I was like, hey, this works.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, it's those intentions, man. Intentions. There's a book out there called Focus, Open Focus Brain. It teaches you how to take your attention and train it. So therefore, you always know which way to focus on, which is always the positive. So like you're in a situation and you look at you'll start looking at people differently too. You'll start realizing that nobody is at fault. People out there are not trying to do you in. They're just showing you who they are. So when you train your attention to see those things what they are, you make better decisions on people who to avoid, who to embrace, and who to love. And also it teaches you one thing too. Even the people who do the infractions, you can still love them too. It just shows you that just because they're in your path doesn't mean you have to embrace them. It could be one of those freaking potholes or speed bumps, whichever one you're going to do, that you just want to go around. Because we all figure out one thing. If we go down the same road every freaking day, we figure how to get around the pothole without hitting it. We also figure out with speed bumps how to do those things and maneuver around them too as well. So it's the idea of learning to do the same thing in life. I just talked to some guy today. He was in the military. And he's basically an artillery, and he has these strategies and stuff that you use in war. Okay, he never realized it until I said it to him, that he can take the same techniques and go into the corporate world or even start a business with the same kind of strategy, except for he's not going to kill people. He can change it around, the ideal of taking the same strategy he's been doing in war. He can actually use it in civilians, and the ideal of, like, getting contracts, getting clients. Because it's all structured. It's all the ideal strategy to acquire something. And using in war, what you're trying to do is eliminate people to acquire a piece of property or to take over some place so you can proceed to go forward. Life's the same way. We don't realize it. Even in those situations, we're being taught some great tools that we can actually use in the real world and use for ourselves. It's just the idea of taking our perception and looking at it differently than what people try to tell us what we're supposed to do compared to what we can do. That's what I'm saying with you. You must have a really good focus point. I think that book will really help you out. I actually got it on Amazon, too, and I think it only cost me like, don't quote me on this, but I think it was like $4.
Oh.
Even if it costs more. It's one of those books that I always tell people that, sure, look for a good bargain, but get the book. If you got to pay some little extra for it, I feel like from what I've already read from the book and that kind of stuff, plus it's got a CD in the back of it. It actually has a couple of meditations on there, too. Where they just kind of talk to them, all you got to do is listen. So try it out. If you don't, still follow through what you've done before because it seems like it's worked for you.
Yeah.
To do that because, like you said before, you've done it once, but you haven't done it since. So, you know, I think just the idea of the conversation we just had, I think it's one of those things that bring it to your attention again that you need to start doing it again.
Okay.
All righty?
All righty. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great time. Have a great week and have a great 4th of July. Don't blow
you
anybody
do the
up,
same.
Okay?
Okay. All
right. So you have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to our next caller. Oh, that was weird. Okay, we're back. Okay. Something happened there. It was kind of weird. Okay. Area code 805. You are on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you? And what's your name?
Hi, my name is Becca.
Your name is, say it one more time.
Rebecca.
Marca or Martha?
Sorry, it's Rebecca.
Okay. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh. L.A., most scariest place on the planet.
Yeah, I can't argue with you on that, but
right. So, I guess we can understand what you're calling, right? To get out. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, what's your question?
I don't know. I kind of have several going on right now, so I really don't know where to start, I guess. I don't know where to start.
Just start at the beginning. I mean, it's like, put it like this. When you're sitting there focusing on it, and the first thing that comes to the mind that you feel like you should start, that's the first thing you should actually start talking.
So, what feeling do you get about me taking on a new project with a photographer that I'm working with?
So you're working with a photographer, and you wonder if you should take up business with him.
I'm actually working. Yeah, I'm working with them to. I'm working with that photographer to kind of do a whole different, I guess, series of portraits that they haven't done before, and then also kind of rebranding their whole, social media and site and everything. So it's a really involved project. And it's something that I took on, and I'm not getting paid for it because I didn't want to charge her for it because I wasn't sure how it was going to work out, but it's working out really well. So I just don't know. I mean, it's all very exciting in the beginning, but I just wanted to see maybe what you saw about this opportunity.
No, I was looking at some stuff in the chat room, okay? Sorry. But for some reason, when I focus on this guy, something about the situation doesn't set with me, right? It's one of those things that we most of us pick up on, you know, where we're sitting looking at the situation going, I feel something in the situation, just keeping my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
But he comes off to, it's like one of those people that comes off very sincere, but at the same time, there's something about the situation where you feel like as you go through the process, right, you have to be on top of everything. You can't let this person be any kind of sense of the word, because it's like some people, photographers, things like that, since they have such a experience, they always think you should let them have the leeway. And I just don't feel like that's what should happen here. It should all be on the same level, same page, same perception, the whole thing. Almost like you guys have known each other for years, you know, that kind of thing. Does it just seem like you could take advantage of the situation?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get. So you can look at this. So what we're saying is it's a good opportunity, a good situation, as long as you always stay on top of everything else and be organized with this whole thing, it'll work in your favor. It'll actually work out for both of you. It's just the ideal that he does have a niche sometimes to actually want to take the upper hand in the whole thing, and he has a tendency to take advantage of the situation.
It's a female photographer.
I don't know. Slap her in the back of the head anyway. I'm just saying, it has to be on the same level. She does have she does have some kind of masculine flavor to her. I hate to say it that way, but that's what came to me.
Yeah.
So therefore, she has a tendency to come off like a male.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so the energy is there. But I just it's like this, sweetie. Listen to this, okay? When people focus, they don't realize that people who take advantage of other people are focusing on the left side of their brain, which is the materialistic side, not the emotional side, not the loving, caring kind of side. But when you put both sides of the brain together, then you get a person who has a tendency to take consider of other people at the same time is very successful. This person here seems to be focusing more on her left side, which is kind of funny because it's actually been said that the left side of the brain is the masculine side and the right side is the feminine side. So we can see here a lady who actually reflects that with her personality, her characteristics of what side of the brain that she's actually focusing more on. So it's why she would be in a situation where she would take advantage of you, because she also has that fear that if she doesn't do certain things, she won't get what she wants. It's also the idea of a lack of faith in herself. And if you actually watch this person from time to time, you'll see that. She's very good at what she does, but she also has a little bit of insecurity. You'll see it. If you haven't already seen it.
No, I haven't. That's interesting. I guess we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one of the situations I was curious about. The other one is my current position at the company that I'm with.
Actually, that kind of screams at me, and the idea of saying to leave and start something on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like the idea of packing up tomorrow, okay? What I'm saying is it's the idea of progression, of course, but it's the idea of saying that it's time to go out and start creating something of your own.
Yeah.
It's not who you work with, it's just
like
the idea of, yeah, you're just a very independent person, and the idea of working for other people just really irritates you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty right on. What do you see as far as like relationships and that type of situation?
So when's your birthday?
It's February.
Are you scared to tell us how old you are?
Oh, no. I mean, are you asking for my full birthday?
Yes, you were born in February, because if you were born in February, you could be either an Aries or a Pisces. So, you know, the situation of you're very intellectual. You could be an Aries.
I don't want to put my whole birthday out there on, you know, like the radio. I mean, I was born in the first week of February.
Okay, so you're Aquarius. That understands the ideal of how organized you are, how you have a tendency to have a flair for business. That's why I feel like you should have your own business. Because I have a friend of mine who's a very strong Aquarius, and she really always looking for ways to always be self-employed, which is, that's the thing. That's what life's going to be about in the first place, because those are just more experiences to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us how old, you don't have to tell us how old you are in a sense, but if you want to, that'd be great too as well. Because I'm just trying to get a thing for the whole thing, because you just don't seem... You're very mature. You're very organized. You definitely know exactly what you want, which is kind of, I would kind of center thinking about the situation I was focusing on going, I was trying to figure out why you picked some of the guys that you went out with, because they were so unorganized in the way you are with certain situations. So therefore, the idea of love itself could be something that seems to be more on the line, because we're somewhat the last caller. In the process of finding one's life purpose, they always seem to find their life partner. So they always go hand in hand. I get crazy. I was listening to somebody on the psychic line, was one of the psychic shows here on Blog Talk, and was talking about the ideal. I can never see myself married to another psychic. And me personally, I can't see myself in some sense of the word where I wouldn't be, because I actually have a shop and I actually have a sign on the sign that says, are you psychic? Come in and find out, because I can tell you in 2 minutes if you're psychic or you're not. And people think that's kind of crazy, but it's not. It's easy to do. It's the idea of looking at somebody going, first and foremost, one question. Do you ever get butterflies in your stomach?
Yeah.
Do you?
Of course. Yeah.
And you're psychic. Getting butterflies in your stomach is actually connected to an ability called clairsentience, which is actually connected to your solar plexus chakra, which is actually a way of feeling people, sensing people. It's also been connected to your empathic abilities too, because I feel like you also have a tendency to pick up on people's feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be irritating sometimes as well. So, you know, when you look at those things, you're psychic. As most people would call it. I call them spiritual abilities, but I also feel like you are psychic because you can read people very well.
Yeah.
I think the questions you're asking, because the questions you were asking me was just the idea of getting clarification for something you already knew.
Mm, that's interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's something that I struggle with too, you know, as far as just knowing whether or not I really have a gift or not. So,
So when you clear the insecurity that do you have a gift or not, realize you do, because like I told the last lady, I want you to go home and look in the mirror and say, that's me. Just accept yourself for who you are, and you'll start realizing a lot of things about yourself that you know for true. Like what people sit and talk about intuition. Intuition doesn't just tell you about other people, but also tells you about yourself and the idea of you know you who you are. So you just have to embrace that. It's amazing how people come in our lives and they'll say things about us, say we're too sensitive as an insult, but realistically maybe we are too sensitive, and the idea of realizing that sensitivity is actually our ability and that person is telling you that you're too sensitive, feels like you're getting too close to finding out who they are, so therefore they're going to make you feel insecure to denounce
mm-hmm.
yourself, so you won't see that. Yeah, so see, that's how it works. So what you do is you just sit there and say, I don't care what you think or say, I know what I see and I know what I feel.
I feel like I'm pretty good at that. Yeah. So as far as relationships or romance, I mean, is that something that's kind of on the back burner for me or?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say in the back burner, but it's the ideal that if you really think about it, I'm curious how old you are. Anyway,
I'm in my 30s.
You're in your 30s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I would have thought you were like in your 30s. I would have thought you were in your late 20s.
I look like I'm in my late 20s.
I'm good with that. But I had a situation where a lady came up to me one day, and I had this one lady who was talking to me, and she was like, she didn't like guys in their 40s. But she was sitting there flirting with me, even to the point where she was touching my shoulder. I'm sitting there, I just looked at her in the face, I said, so, how old are you? She's like, I'm 25. I said, okay, I'm just curious, how old do you think I am? Because I was kind of curious when she's talking about, ooh, 40-year-old guys, I can't stand them. I asked her, how old do you think I am? She's like, maybe 30, 32. And I was sitting there going, if I'm projecting that, realistically, aren't I 32 years old? Not what the world tells me I am, like by a freaking figure in the situation.
Yeah.
And we all, we've had so much, I wouldn't call it controversy, but it's kind of amazing this day of age, girls in their 20s and guys have a tendency to tell older people what they should and shouldn't be doing in the process of, don't get in my business, but I have no problem getting in yours.
mm-hmm.
I had a situation where there's a girl, and I usually don't tell how old I am because it's just not important. And to the point, unless it gets to like those people do with curiosity, right? So I was sitting and say, you figure it out. 1971. Now figure it out, the age and that kind of stuff you want to. But the one thing was, a girl came up to me and said, that girl, she's 26 and she wants to go out with you. She's old enough to be your daughter. I said, yeah, but see, the problem is she's not. And the other problem is she's made the decision. She's the one that's in pursuit. So therefore, you're making me seem like I'm a dirty old man when actually she's overage. She's an adult. It makes me wonder about the person I'm talking to at that time how adult they are, because they're trying to tell me I'm doing something wrong when realistically I'm not. You know, the reality of the whole situation is I've always said when two people connect, it happens for a reason. Now, of course, if it's something like we've seen people before, those are crazy situations, and I think people should be adult in those situations to realize a person, if you're like 28 and you have a person who's like 15 or 16, that's different, totally different. What I'm saying is when two people connect and the idea of both of them are adults and the whole thing's going on, I think people should butt out, because you start adding more than one person in a relationship, it should only be two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people say, well, my mom's my best friend. That's not good. And the reason it's not good is because if she tells her everything about what's going on in her relationship, your mother has a different perception, and she's going to voice that perception, which actually can make you think about what's going on when you should be thinking, it's your relationship. That's the key. It's your relationship, not the family. Because I've had this a lot of times where I just had this with this one lady who was a client, was the most difficult client I've ever had. I'm sitting there talking to her saying, you need to focus on what you want to do for a living. You need to focus on the situation and ask yourself, why are you letting your family influence? She goes, well, if I do what I want to do, my family will disown me. Then so be it. If they disown you, it's because of their actions. But why give up a dream? Because your family can't approve of it. I don't think it's really one of those situations where we should put ourselves in a position of wanting that approval, because it can actually put us in a state that we might not even experience it, because we're just putting that too much on that. I just went through that for like the last 3 years of running away from the carnival to get away from my family, when I should have just ran away to Colorado and put myself back in my career. It was just one of those things where I was constantly trying to get approval from my mother for what I do, and she's just not going to give it, you know. So therefore, you have to come to those conclusions. So when I said to her, so it's like the idea of looking at you and saying, look at the life and that kind of stuff like that, just I'm trying to put it in words of saying, it's not a relationship, it's on the back burner. It's just the ideal that, look at it like this. Relationships are not the ideal of filling a space. They're the ideal of attracting person to share your life with. So therefore, in the process of you living your life and taking on a different direction, a career, I feel like more of a business, then as you live that, you're going to have someone come into your life that you're going to be able to share that with. That's how I see it. So it's not a back burner thing that you're going to, people just putting, I mean, think about it. Reason a lot of relationships don't work because you start off right off the bat calling your significant other a possession. They're not a possession. They're a partner and a person you share your life with. And you got to keep it just like that, or else it's going to be one of those things that's going to be temporary. Because I feel like it's one of those things of connecting with somebody this year that it can actually put you in a situation of being a fantastic relationship, if not for the rest of your life.
Wow, that would be
it's
great.
Just that. I'm just saying what the situation I keep picking up on is just that perception that you want to attract someone in your life to share it with. Because a lot of people, I don't believe in dating services. And one thing is the ideal. If you think about it, if you're paying a service to find you a person, that's like a fine line of prostitution. And plus you're paying for it. I've always had a problem with paying rent, too. Not because I'm not responsible. It's just the idea that we're the only mammals on the planet who actually pay to live here.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I have a block with that, too.
See, my thing is, it's like looking at things. See, if things are meant to be, they automatically work. If they're not, mm-hmm. they don't. And if you look at the situation of rent and that kind of stuff, and just all the chaos and the aggravation and the drama in apartments, just with the people, not just the management, it's just a bunch of drama. It's like a freaking movie and that kind of stuff. And all those kind of things. So it just shows a lot of chaos. It shows a lot of negativity. I'm not saying there's not. I've really, tell you the truth, I've never found an apartment building or apartment complex, but it wasn't some kind of negativity and drama.
Yeah, I'm certainly sure agree.
Yeah, so why do you think people are so prompt on buying houses? But then today, it's getting crazy. But I feel like this. I feel like you have a very strong ability. I feel like you can also manifest things at will. So therefore, listen to your intuition and manifest what you want to. I don't want to go into the negative thing about negative people and negative apartments since we don't want to live there. So let's focus on where we really want to be at, because I feel like when you start focusing, like I told the last night, when you start focusing on your desires and you read that desire list 3 times a day, you automatically cancel out the negative because you're focusing on a positive life. So whatever's in your life at that moment, the more you keep focusing on that list, also focusing on feeling and seeing it and living it and that kind of stuff, your life's going to change drastically to the point where those negative things are just neutralized. And that's the power of positivity.
I have one last question for you.
Okay.
It's actually related directly to a person that I've worked with, and that's trying to bring me in on another project. So I want to know what your sense is of me working with Michael.
I don't know. For some reason, I keep getting the idea of Michael's good to work with, but it can be dramatic.
That he'd be good to work with?
Yeah, I get the impression good to work with. Just like there just seems to be some drama with him. What was your opinion of the whole thing?
I mean, I feel like it was. I was pulled into somebody who isn't ready to really do business on their own, and they really needed me. Mm-hmm. But again, that person, I don't totally believe that the product that they're pushing is even real. I almost feel mm-hmm. like it's a Ponzi scam type thing, and he's kind of like a scam artist.
You could also be the catalyst in his situation. If you choose to go there, they could actually make this more gaggle more jit.
Yeah, I thought about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that, but so like, it's just, like, he's already proven to be kind of shady. So I don't know, he's always been late in paying, and it's just there's been too many
issues,
indiscrepancies within the things mm-hmm. he says, you know, like small lies I catch him in, you know, waiting a month to be paid. It's kind of you know, one of those things where he, I revised a proposal for him, and I kind of had a feeling that he didn't know how to create one, and that's why he had hired me on, because the one that he was pushing was actually pre-created for him. So when I had given him what I had put together, you know, the duration of us working together, he had never even looked at it, and I knew that he was, I just didn't understand what the reason was for him having me in the situation, because nothing ever materialized from any of his contacts, only mine. So I kind of felt like, I don't know, I kind of knew that if he was a scam artist, he would actually go push my revised proposal with my services on it and see if he could get interest, and he did. And so that's the only reason why he paid me, is because he had to come back to me and he needs me for the revised proposal that I put out there, because he doesn't know how to do what I do. So that's why I'm saying, like, should I go back into it? And, like, he basically, like, also is trying to really undercut me, and he's really, like, shady and passive-aggressive in his communication, and I always have to clarify, and I always have to keep it very clear with what I'm saying, because he always goes back. He's just one of those. So I don't know whether or not I trust doing this right now. But then again, there is money that I could make, even if I took, you know, half of what he's offering, it would be, you know, a good thing.
Well, I was like, I had a situation where a woman is in a relationship that she wanted to, she should stay in the relationship, and not because of the situation of all the things she has to put into the whole thing to keep people motivated to keep going in a certain direction. So she's questioning the whole thing. Okay, so when you look at that whole thing, the example is do you really want to do that? So some people are, it's like the world has a tendency to creep in and say, okay, you have a sense of responsibility that you got to do things, you got to follow through with it. And I think like this, if you get something that comes to your attention that brings out a realization that you should be doing it, I think you should make the decision right then and there to walk away. Okay? But we also can make a decision of looking at a person who's also very freaking screwed up, because he's also been taught this. This is what you do in the process of the business. But it's also been taught by other shady people who do the same thing, who also have insecurities. If they don't do these things, they don't make any money. It's the insecurity thing is really kicking in here, the big time. So they, so it's like, I was telling a friend of mine about this. I said, you know what the definition of sin is? They go, what? I said, it's a lack of. When you have a lack of worth, you think you have to rip off people because of you just don't feel like you're deserving to do it. You don't feel like you're deserving to attract it. So therefore, you actually pursue and take it. If you have some faith in yourself.
I think he actually doesn't know what he is doing. I don't know.
Well,
like, he's asking for a lot of money. He's asking for, like, you know, $5 million and, you know, $1.5 million. And then all of a sudden it turned into $250,000. And then it was, you know, my ex-business partner is suing me, and I need to pay this much money in order for the business to be clean. And, you know, him telling me conversations about him presenting to Lionsgate and his partner threatening to blackmail him. And I'm like, why do you have anything to blackmail about? Like, what, you know, there's too many situations.
That's what I'm saying.
Look at
the situation
really
of drama. He could be a good person to work with. It's just that drama. It's like the drama sticks into the whole situation, and I think he is. He does have a kind of a, I don't know, this might sound funny, but it comes off the idea of certain things have a tendency to push his stupid button, where he does stupid things. So that's what it comes to me. There's a stupid button where he has a tendency to look at situations. I call it more about insecurity, but he has to feel like he has to do stupid things, but definitely drama. And the drama's been handed down by other people, too, as well.
Yeah,
but I took a look at the situation. If I pulled a card out for you, it would say, brilliant new ideals and inspirations, seeing the truth of the situation, and then focusing on breaking away for a challenging beginning. And that was your card.
Awesome. Because that's kind of what I'm doing with, you know, the photographer. So I'm just hoping that.
Yeah. And this card is actually the Ace of Air, which is the Ace of Swords. That means cut loose clutter that no longer serves you.
That's been pulled for me before. So I don't know if that's
there
a common card.
More. No, it's not a common card. It's actually more what the readings I do is the idea of more about earth cards, which is pentacles, money, the green cards, mm-hmm. and then the love cards, the emotional cards. And having a combination together means someone's actually pursuing something that's very passionate, but they really love, and working with people they actually feel the same way with as much as possible
mm-hmm.
as well. It's the ideal, it's a balance between water and earth. Huh? The money is there, but the more they focus on their passions and their emotions and use emotions. That's what I always tell people. Emotions are created to experience after you've made decisions. Emotions were never created to make decisions. So when you look at the situation of the two cards, what it's saying is be grounded, be focused. Yeah, so you want $250,000. You want to make, or maybe you want a smaller force, and you want to make $10,400 a month. You have to set of what you're going after. And then let that go in favor of focusing on the idea of the passion and your intentions to actually attract the opportunities to get to that goal. But you don't have to focus on the goal all the time. The goal can actually become a block. That it can actually keep you from getting what you want. If you keep focused on the 10,400, you're focusing on a figure. You're not focused on the ideal of actually living your life, which means if you don't live it, you really can't get there. A lot of people sit there and they don't want to sit there and experience the journey. They just want the money. And there's those people who kill with a big money bag that falls from the sky. And actually, I was going to tell everybody, if you come back next week, I've actually got a book coming in, and the ideal brilliant ideals and insights on how to win the lottery. We might even have some winning lottery numbers for you. I always feel like when I give lottery numbers to people and I never hear from them again, I feel like they won, and my percentage I never got. And sometimes I don't get mad about it. What I get is the ideal thinking that if I was in a situation like that, we do have a tendency to get caught up in this situation, and we forget everybody else. But I think they're greedy. Anyway, because I have a tendency to sit there and write things down and say, okay, this person got me here, this person did this for me. And as soon as I get into a situation where I can actually be really good for myself, I go back and be good for them.
That's
so it's
fantastic.
One of those situations of keeping that balance.
That's great. I'd love to do that.
I'm just saying with the situation, that kind of stuff, I just want you to sit there and think about the whole thing that you're on the right path. It's just the idea you got some boulders in your way. You just need to clear them out.
Yeah.
I use the word boulder. See, I use the word boulder. You know why I use the word boulder? It's to show you that whatever instructions in your way, you're a very powerful woman, and you can move them. And you always have been.
Yeah, thank you.
So these infractions, these fruitcakes, are things I think they put in our way to sit there and show us our strength and what we really need to put up with or don't have to put up with.
Yeah.
Okay, because when we're getting caught up in the world that you're into and that kind of stuff, there is a certain format of paying dues. And also, that's a human concept. If you ever ask an angel for insight and, can you help me get here? And the angel says, well, you got to pay your dues first. They don't say that. They tell you how to have it now. My mom used to do that. Buy a little house, keep it for about 6 years, and then get what you want. I'm sitting there going, I want to forget the middle thing and just go for the fat, right? And then I found out you can't. It's just the idea of the world is set up like this to make you fail.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all live together in misery. It's us who have a tendency to take a step away from the situation and go, no, I don't want the misery. Or this one lady did this. I've seen the psychics do this. You have to experience the negative to appreciate the positive. I've had enough negative in the last 4 lifetimes. I know what positive is, and I appreciate it. So I don't need to go through any more. Thank you. So therefore, the world comes back and says, yeah, you do. And they try to sit there and do that. They'll try to rip you off and all kinds of stuff. And realistically, when people rip you off, what they're trying to do is get you to see their perception, which takes you away from you and your perception. So therefore, if you stay true to yourself, it's like the churches. You go to church. I'm not knocking Christians and God and Jesus. I believe in God. I believe in miracles and blessings and Jesus, the angels and everything. I don't think I have to go to church to acknowledge it. I think what it is the ideal of, I've seen people go to church, and it's like they're looking at you going, you're inferior. You know, you're just not up to snuff. But if you come to church, you know, we'll get you there. We got the steps and that kind of stuff. I feel like it's one of those things, the preachers are the ones, and the people there are the ones that are insecure, and they need your attention. They need your energy. So basically, some of these people can actually be those things we've always heard about, psychic vampires, people taking your energy and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of things like that. Like, I'm going to change something real quick, because I feel like you have some dark patches in your aura, and the best way to actually heal those dark patches is to realize how they got there. It's almost like people have a tendency to do things. Or they'll grab you on the shoulders, or they'll try to control you in some ways. They make dark patches in your aura. What that means is they took your energy. So all you have to do is focus on those spots and say, okay, what's the first color it comes to me? Green, orange, whatever it is. And you use those colors to re-energize those places of your aura. And that's what it is. They just took energy, so all you have to do is re-energize energy back into those things, and you can actually see a difference in your body. Me personally, I think you should work with some green energy. Really strong, emerald, green energy. If it's not working with Archangel Raphael himself and the ideal, I don't think your aura is that bad. I just feel like you're a very strong, powerful person that also has the same kind of energy around you, your aura, your chakras, and you're very powerful. But also, when you have those kind of strengths, things have a tendency to affect you more. And sometimes it's kind of hard to shake it. So if you energize with Archangel Raphael and you put that emerald green energy in there, also you're focusing on more abundance and prosperity. But Archangel Raphael is also good for relationships too. Not the idea we don't have to know what they are. It's just the idea of asking Archangel Mike and Michael too, to cut loose some ties that you're still hanging on to. Oh, use them, both of them. Cut the ties with Archangel Michael, clear out the clutter, and then use a Raphael to heal what has just happened and the idea of changing your perception, which it seems like you're a very open-minded person.
Yeah, I am. I'm just totally floored with everything you just said. So, even when you had just said, you know, you saw missing patches in my aura and you said concentrate on a color, the first color that came to my mind was green. And then when you said that people try to control me, it is my boss has this incredible need to try to figure me out and control me. I'm one of the only people that he just can't figure out. I perform everything. I do everything great, you know, to the needs, close contracts, everything. It's just there's always just this weird, you know, it's like he just wants to be able to control me. So he has been doing that a lot lately. He actually has been, like, grabbing me by the shoulders and that type of thing, and it's joking around, but you're right. It's definitely one of those things I should watch out for, because it is a form of trying to control someone. I didn't realize that.
It's definitely one. Yeah, it's a sneaky way of doing it too as well. So therefore, I always tell people say, well, this guy seems like he's really get together and that kind of stuff, but he does these certain things. Well, realistically, it's not. People who try to control other people have a lack of control within themselves, and their life is probably really chaotic and that kind of stuff. So it's the idea, plus you're doing all the work. That's another thing too as well. It's almost like a fear that if he doesn't keep you in check, he doesn't figure out, he needs that, or he's not going to have what he's got. So he has a lot of confidence in you, which is kind of funny, isn't it? They have a lot of confidence in you, as soon as he wants to control you. He knows if you're not there and doing all this work and that kind of stuff like that, he's not going to have certain things. That's his fear. But at the same time, he's insecure that you're going to leave. So it's kind of like, that's like a freaking, it's a contradiction if I ever saw one.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the situation. I'm just telling
No, you're totally right. You just called the whole situation. So I need to buy, like, you know, your 100-pack reading special. Well, thank you. I know that your session's ending and you probably have ending things to say, so it was a pleasure talking to you, and I'll definitely check out your site. And thanks for your advice and insight. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a really pleasure talking to you, too. You should come to Colorado sometime and get a reading in person. I always like to show
yeah,
my
I do. I have, I do. I've thought about going out there. I do have some contacts out there that I'd like to see, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be great
cool,
if you come out by the shop and that kind of stuff, too, as well. But definitely call me for a reading and let's sit down and talk. You're a fascinating woman.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care.
You, too. Bye-bye now. Uh-oh. Oh, 503. Oh. Well, that kind of sucked. Sorry about that. If you can hear me, 503, please call back in. I was pushing a button and actually cut off two people at the same time, our last caller and you. So if you can call back, please do so. All right, let's go to area code 811. I mean, I'm sorry, 818.
Hi,
how are you
this evening? I'm good. This is Dani Marie calling from Woodland Hills, California.
Hey, what's up?
How are you, love?
I'm doing good.
Can you talk? I love listening to you. You have so much advice to give. It's so awesome.
Well, thank you. I love doing this show, too. I like talking to people myself. It's great.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm trying to be more social. My kids said I need to be more social.
Right. Hey, sometimes with the situations and that kind of stuff. What'd you say your name was? Say your name one more time. Your name?
Dani Marie. You can just say Danielle. Danielle is probably much easier over the phone.
Danielle, okay.
Yeah.
So, did you have a purpose for calling me? I kind of have a question, or just want to sit here and say
hi?
Sorry? I said,
no, I did have a question, because
okay.
I saw on the site there that you were talking about Atlantean information, and actually I had a question about Lemuria with regard to past lives. I know you mentioned Atlantean, but I believe I had a Lemurian past life, and for some reason I am so drawn to Lemurian crystals, and I didn't even realize how many I had until the other day, but I can't tap into them.
Well, I was here talking to the situation, we had this conversation last week, I think, because what we were doing, we were trying to do a different format where we take calls on Tuesdays, but on Thursdays we just basically have a format where it's just me and Heather talking and giving out advice and giving insights to Atlantis and that kind of stuff. And we were sort of talking about the ideal that my strong belief is Atlanteans were very versed in crystals. They were also they were also based where it's like looking at people's conversations. We hear conversations about the continent of Atlantis. We hear the thing about the city of Atlantis. And people try to separate the two and the idea of trying to be right or wrong. When I think they actually just sit there and look at the situation and go, they could both exist where we have Atlantis, the continent, which is between North America and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then they base their city in the middle of the Mediterranean, which was actually an island called the Crates, which is still there, but it looks like it's like a sea. But it was also destroyed completely by a volcano. Now if you look at the situation of crystals, look at crystals. This is a really good example. Why would a civilization build their civilization next to a volcano? What's the biggest source to go to find crystals?
The
tubes.
The volcano
and the volcano. So therefore, we look at the situation, right? So we look at the situation like the society of Lemuria was before Atlantis. And I still feel very strongly that the Lemurians actually evolved into Atlanteans, because when you see my visions of Atlantis is the idea of something that's already evolved, already put together all things, like something. And one thing about history, too, that people don't realize is that we can actually find two sites, and we're thinking they're two cities, when actually it's the same society who just evolved from a smaller version to a bigger version, which actually serves a purpose now because they've actually expanded. Okay? And we started talking about this thing about what would you do if you found Atlantis still existed? And people are like, well, we haven't found it. I said, maybe the reason we haven't found it because there's people behind it to make sure we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I believe that it does exist.
Yeah, they started talking. So I did some research on the whole thing. I started talking about people, and I started noticing there were certain scientists and certain people and that kind of stuff thought they found Atlantis. And there was five locations last time I checked it.
Yep.
Iceland, Japan, China,
Hawaii.
I think, on all these places. Now, if you start sitting there thinking about it, if people would take their arrogance and start getting together and conversing and pulling their sources together, we might find out that Atlantis, the city of Atlantis that was in the Mediterranean was destroyed by a volcano. Now, when we look at history, if you look at the idea of the Roman Empire, when the Roman Empire collapsed, the outer post, the outer sections of they had a big I mean, if you ever saw the map of the Roman Empire, it was big.
Right.
What it means what it means is the Roman Empire fell. It means
mm-hmm.
the government collapsed. But it doesn't
right.
mean the people didn't keep thriving that were in those outposts. So when we look at the situation,
exactly.
the city of Atlantis was destroyed. The continent of Atlantis sank. But it was just one of those natural. We can look at the situation, and Pluto says they were destroyed. It was also said. It also says in there too they were destroyed because of their arrogance, which means
right.
their scientists already knew what was going to happen, but the city of Atlantis and the situation of arrogance wouldn't listen. So therefore, that city was destroyed. But we also
right.
have outcasts. We also have survivors because there were, you know, anytime you have any kind of civilization, you always have people who listen and people who don't, which is usually the government
mm-hmm.
destroys, right? But the people still
mm-hmm.
live because they listen. Okay, so we have the
right.
striving. So all these people that think they know where Atlantis is, maybe they're all right, and these are the outposts. And now we're going to start finding out how much influence Atlantis did have over not the continent, but also the world.
Right.
I fully believe it. Yeah.
That.
And then the Roman, see, when
and
we look
know,
at the ideal, look at this. The Roman Empire collapsed. That's an example. But also these civilizations were based off, they used, I guess you would say, a map of some kind to actually
mm-hmm.
form their societies. And it's the ideal of looking at, as we call them, primitive man and the societies, but also these phenomenal things they accomplished too as well. That you can't sit there and say that there wasn't some other civilization with high technology that was actually influencing these situations because, yes, there are situations. I was sitting there listening to a scientist talk one day where he was talking about the Egyptians. The Egyptians were just experimenting. You can see where they made smaller pyramids. They were experimenting. They were doing
right.
it. Now, when you teach a society, when you teach somebody, when you're a teacher, right, and you're going to teach somebody how to do something, you always start with small steps to work up to
right.
the big conclusion before they get it. So in the process of teaching these Egyptians how to build pyramids, they're going to have mistakes. They're going to have things that we can see. The only thing we can't see for a fact is the idea, and I think we can. I think it's our freaking arrogance and ignorance ourselves, the ideal of always focusing on society to give us the answers and not realizing that as an individual, when we start seeing things that look like they are, we might be right.
Mm-hmm.
Because our society, seriously, think about this, our society has also been taught that being right is wrong. Listen
mm-hmm.
to a woman.
That's right.
This guy thinks he's right about everything. But see, we're
mm-hmm.
so angry about him being right. We don't realize he might just be right. And I was telling the lady today,
that's true.
Yeah. Because every situation I've ever gone into, I've always known everything about that situation. Does that mean I know everything in the
right.
world? No. But I do
exactly.
know everything in the situation. And what I'm trying to reflect
mm-hmm.
back to people to help them understand is, if you look at me and I got the answer and I'm right, you should never look at yourself as anything less. Because we're reflecting,
mm-hmm.
we are reflections of each other.
So other.
Therefore, you probably have
right.
the answers too, but you're not listening to yourself,
mm-hmm.
but I am. This,
right.
This, like,
right.
But not to be egotistic, it's the ideal. I'm looking at you saying,
No.
Watch what I'm doing, so therefore
you tap
realize.
You into it.
So I started changing the format. When I have a girlfriend or the people are in my face, I look at them right there. I said, do you think I'm an awesome, great person? Because if you do, you're looking at yourself.
Right.
So therefore, you're
that's
awesome.
True.
And fantastic, and like attracts like. So therefore, look at it, when you sit here and make a compliment to me, you're actually acknowledging who you are too as well. Because I think it's the most saddest thing about relationships right now is people don't realize by me getting to know you, I get to know more about myself, and vice versa.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So if we get in these fights and arguments and think we're always right about everything, instead of actually looking
mm-hmm.
at the conversation we're having and the idea of coming with a conclusion, which is the ideal of getting to know something about ourselves, that we could actually sit and realize that every time we don't listen, we're creating blocks between the two of us, and it's what we call the ideal of pushing each other away or actually growing
that's
apart
right.
because we're not learning, we're not listening. And as soon as we start listening, it's the idea of realizing if you grew apart, because think about this, when you get in a relationship and you go through the process of getting to know each other, don't you grow
mm-hmm.
together and you actually become very close? So if you're in a situation
right.
where you didn't, well, I feel like we've pushed each other away and we've grown apart. That's because if we're not listening, all we simply have to do is start listening to each other again and grow back together. So most people sit there going,
right.
and lawyers. Let's all burn them. Anyway, it's the ideal. I met some nice lawyers. Don't get me wrong. They're great to go have a dinner with, but, you know. But I was sitting there telling this one lady. I was telling this one lady at the shop, and I was sitting there going, talking about the idea of the situation and fractions of lawyers. And I looked in her face, and she looked at me with a certain way. I was sitting there going, let me guess, you're a lawyer, aren't you? She goes, yes, I am. But she said, I do understand where you're coming from. Yeah, she said, I understand where you're coming from and the situation and stuff, but, you know, but.
Right.
And she said, the system, she goes, you're right, there are certain things that need to be corrected in the system, the ideal. We need to stop going along with the norm and actually start doing what's right. And so that's the idea. Because a lot of judges right now, that's what they're doing. It's more about peer pressure, the public,
yeah.
And that's the ideal of get their answers. When you look at the situation,
yeah.
Catch 22, right? The idea, we always think that we get a petition, we do the whole thing and push that down and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should also put it in a situation, if you're going to sit there and get into politics, to have some faith in the people you're actually focusing on in the first place to do the right thing.
Thank you.
We don't have to really
that's
get the
right.
petitions going. Yeah, so, you know, politics is one of those things I really have a tough time with because most of your politicians are lawyers. But there's a push up to the top. But when you just look at the situation,
goodness.
Yeah, it's all about precision because I'm sure somewhere along the line, somewhere, there's actually a good politician.
You're like, somewhere.
Well, I had a friend that was in a court case, and she said that what she did was she asked the angels to basically, when she saw lawyers, the one she was supposed to work with would have a white light above his head. And she said that she thought she'd never find one. But she finally found a lawyer. It took her a long time, but she finally saw the lawyer who had the white light above his head.
Right above his head.
Yeah. It's one of those things where we never thought we would find one. But
mm-hmm.
It's the idea of looking at the situation of lawyers. Lawyers are people in the fraction, like with the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
They had lawyers. They had senators.
Mm-hmm.
They had the whole thing.
That was
a
whole hot mess, all of that.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that they got this blueprint from Atlantis and Lemuria and civilizations like that to actually make their civilization. But at the same time, they put their own little fractions into it, okay? It's like, look at the situation of the society based on spirituality. They're focusing
mm-hmm.
on zero infractions. They're focusing on perfection, okay? But when you look at the Roman Empire, it was more about what can I get? What can I do? And this is mine. This is yours.
Right.
People don't really. And the ideal, we're talking about the ideal. People think, being gay is really cool and that kind of stuff. And you start looking at the Roman Empire, and basically guys would actually be with other guys, but it was also, they were never considered anything but possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, my friend was talking about this the other day. And you see the guys who wear the pants down, almost down, the pants down with their freaking underwear hanging up? And it's like, don't you realize that's a sign in prison that I'm available.
Right, right.
Okay, and how it became a cool thing, probably what happened was a guy was trying to get to work and forgot his belt. His pants fell down, and next thing we have a fad.
Uh-huh.
Or we have a song that was actually on American Idol. Pants on the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
I about died when a guy came up with that song, but I was like, it's so funny because it's so
God.
True.
Yeah.
That guy got beat and basically got X'd out of the whole thing, but still, he got his 15 minutes of fame because
mm-hmm.
he wrote that song himself. And there was one other guy, that Mr. Woo guy, who sang that one song so terrible. He actually got it out. He actually got a freaking contract.
I remember. That was like the first season, right? Or the second season. I remember. He didn't even make it to the show.
Yeah, he got, I don't know what they call that, but yeah, he got zapped out of the whole thing too as well.
Mm-hmm.
But let me
ask you this. When you were talking about, with, you know, how we were saying, like, Atlantean separated. Do you think, well, do you believe in the hollow earth theory? Because
hollow
I've
earth?
Read that they feel that, yeah, the hollow earth theory where like the Lemurians, they had to go somewhere. They knew something was about to go down and all of those people just bailed and that they migrated.
Well, it's one of those things about the idea that people, there's actually been stories also and books I've actually read about the idea that Atlantis was also the Garden of Eden because it was separate from everything.
Right, I've heard that.
Well, we look at the situation like this, okay? It's kind of ironic that both Lemuria and Atlantis were crystal-based. It's also the idea,
mm-hmm.
looking at our society now, we're also going back to crystals, because one thing about crystals that's different than copper,
mm-hmm.
and metals get hot when you run electricity through them. Crystals don't.
Right.
Crystals stay the same temperature the whole way. It was actually, I also read another article about a guy who actually has found crystals, that he believes that there's information in those crystals. He's also thinking that they're also from Atlantis, and the idea that Atlantis didn't use crystals for energy, they also use them for storage. It's been said that you could take a crystal.
It's like a computer.
Yeah, you can take a crystal and store information in it. You could actually take, what I read this at, it was actually a crystal, it was like a foot or 2 foot crystal, that you could take all the information from the Pentagon and download it into this freaking crystal. And it's a whole lot cheaper, so it doesn't cost you almost anything. Plus, there was one thing that scientists were trying to claim or disclaim, that Atlantis and Lemuria couldn't have been as powerful they was with crystals, because crystals like that don't exist. They're not that big. Well, about 4 years ago, they found
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They found these two caverns with the crystals the size of trees. And one's by Bermuda. And one's by Mexico. Well, it's up in the Pacific, I think. On the Pacific side.
That was just the ignorant statement they made.
I'm just saying, it's like, I like when scientists
mm-hmm.
say things, because usually what happens is somebody comes along and proves them wrong. So all they do is, are motivating us to do these things anyway. And it's kind of funny, too.
Mm-hmm.
We were having that joke. But what I was saying was Lemuria and Atlantis could be the same. Because it's when we find
mm-hmm.
a foundation, we find a certain things for Lemuria, they disappeared. When they could have just evolved
mm-hmm.
with the crystal and the technology they had. Because when I was talking about the idea of these outposts, that all these places that they think of Atlantis, that could actually be true. But what's wild about the whole thing is that these are thriving communities that actually have taken
right.
the same crystal technology, created force fields around them and live under the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And do the whole freaking thing, because we've had too many stories and too many books on the ideal of taking vegetation under the water and how what you can do with it. Even there's even restaurants, I think, serve seaweed and that kind of stuff, and also the idea
right.
of the nutrition value of seaweed and that kind of stuff too. So
very
what
high,
we're trying to think
yes.
of. Yeah, very high in a lot
yes.
of things. And
so
then,
now it's regularly taken as supplement.
And then we
mm-hmm.
have sea salt
mm-hmm.
and the idea how more healthier sea
right.
salt is than rubber salt.
Right.
The idea what they
and
do
then,
then, yeah.
you know, that's what I also read about the record keeper crystals, the ones that have some form of a triangle embedded on it somewhere. And the theory that those came from Atlantis and that they knew what was going to happen and that was their way of storing information into these crystals. And they marked these crystals with that triangle.
Oh yeah.
We
started talking about the same thing too.
You heard about that
the
theory.
Motivation. Yeah,
right.
We started talking about the idea. Because
I have quite a few of those, and I didn't even know.
Theories. Oh yeah, they were
mm-hmm.
talking about we have all
mm-hmm.
these theories. So you're sort of saying that all these places they think of Atlantis is it. There's actually a thriving community there. Of course.
Right.
Look at the idea of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire collapsed,
mm-hmm.
but the outposts were still thriving and still continue to go on because. There's people in those areas and that kind of stuff that are actually descendants and that kind of stuff. So therefore, they wasn't like they
right.
were wiped out. It's just the collapse of a government. So therefore,
right.
they happen on. So what happens is the city of Atlantis could have got destroyed, but the outpost still thrived. And the ideal of the situation of taking technology, because that kind of technology and everything was going on, you just can't imagine a society just disappearing. It's like they're talking about Lemuria.
Right.
It's like
not
the ideal.
Being, right. Not being that advanced.
Yeah. Well, we also sort of talked about this on Thursday night, too, about a society that didn't have just a great ship port, because it also said Atlantis had a thriving ship port coming in, coming out, constantly.
Right.
A lot of things. Also, some of the ships, they said, would have surprised you with the technology that they had, because they were coming in and out at will, and the idea of going where they wanted to go, which means no sales. There were machines. But it was also the idea of thinking about, we've seen this before too, the idea of taking crystals and that kind of stuff and actually absorbing energy.
Right.
But it's also been talked about Atlanteans impressing subconscious energy onto a crystal and the idea of using it as a power source, but also instead of having, they were talking about they've actually found it was the idea of UFOs and that kind of stuff where people would just basically sit in a chair and then the power of thought would be channeled to actually power the spacecraft itself is the reason why sometimes when we've actually had encounters with flying saucers, you don't find, not all of them. That's what they were trying to figure out, the idea. Sometimes you have places where you do have markings and stuff on the spacecraft and the other things you don't. Now, if you sit and look at theory, they say that us humans have gotten a hold of technology, but haven't really mastered it that much. So we'll still have engines. We'll still have landing pods and that kind of stuff like that. But then you have these other ones where we have certain markings of radiation, but we don't have markings of legs and that kind of stuff because it's a different technology and the idea of using crystals to create energy. If you can create energy that way, the power of a ship, use your mind, your thought, but you can also create a power source. And you can also take the power source of also, I saw this was kind of funny because it came up, the first time I saw it was in this movie back in the 50s called Before Tom Cruise did War of the Worlds. There was another movie made back in the 50s, 1954.
I heard about that.
Yeah, they made this movie, and in the movie, the spacecraft, when you see the spacecraft, when you look at them, they look like spaceships that are hovering. But as you see flashes throughout the scene itself, you'll notice that they're on legs of light.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being held up with this whole thing. So what it's doing is it's creating an energy source that also creates legs. Now, if you have that kind of energy source and you land a flying saucer somewhere, and what's holding the saucer up when it lands is legs of light, you're not going to have markings.
But you can
go there and you'll probably pick up radiation. Any kind of energy will put off some kind of radiation.
Radiation.
So you can
get
that thing going on. But I think what we're trying to sit there and put the two societies, Lemuria and Atlantis, together is the idea of feeling that it could be, because we're talking about ancient man and the idea of writings and that kind of stuff, and also their perceptions. And the reason I say that is because if you go back in the time of Plato, they talk about the Mediterranean, but they don't talk about how blue it is. They talk about maroon colors, purples, colors like that. So they were talking about the idea that our eyes have evolved so we can see the blue, we can see the color of blue. But back in those days, in the process
of seeing
things,
we
could only see certain colors. But if you sit and look at the situation of chakras and color and energy, if you look at the idea, why can we only see purples? Could be the ideal of how closer we were to God and the divine and guidance, because the purple color is what our crown chakra radiates at as well. So therefore, it's the highest color spiritually that you can vibrate. So why would we be in a state where we could always see purples? And purple tends to everything because of the spirituality. Plus, our society wasn't as evolved or as old as we are now.
Right.
Yeah. Or so far away from the truth that we need more stimulation with blue colors, which is a spiritual cooling, calming color. So therefore, we can be more calm, which is also connected to your third eye and also connected to your throat chakra, which is a lighter blue. So therefore, we can actually be more connected to our guidance again. So we can actually see it for what it is with the third eye. And we can also speak it because of the light blue of the
throat chakra,
But what I was saying, it was fascinating how we're so connected to crystals now and how we're going back to the whole thing that you can actually find people that, I think there's actually a lot of technology. I think there's computers, got crystals, cell phones, and so on, with crystals and stuff like that because it's a better transfer of energy.
My phone's about to die. Doesn't have it. I wanted to ask you if you could tell if I have any past lives in either Lemuria or Atlantis.
My thing that comes across is the idea of Atlantis is a very strong one. The idea of connection to those crystals you're talking about, because you're like a prime example of societies that are connected that we never thought about because we find two different distinct civilizations, never thinking one could evolve in the other one. So you would have crystals. See, listen to this. You'd have crystals from Liberia that you took with you. As you, you know, as things progressed, or they say that you had
right.
to go and every society has its go between. Okay, you're going to have some, like you said before, which that's what throws off a lot. I think it's what have scientists are so logical and have so structured. And I think it's sometimes structure can work against you because you're going to look at a society thinking the society just went poof, when actually the society moved on and became Atlanteans. But doesn't mean that it doesn't mean part of that society didn't do like you said and disappeared and went into
right.
that part in the earth to do another civilization.
Right.
Okay, and
right.
then we have the other thing where Atlantis also the same way, because I've had some people talk about where there were some things with Atlantis where they were destitute. Okay,
uh-huh.
but when you look at the situation of connections and that kind of stuff, and then they come here, and all they really want to work on is manifestation, energy work, and crystals, more likely there was something in that society, or maybe they had parents who just didn't want to be a part of that society, or didn't want to look,
right.
or wanted to do it their way, which wasn't working, which put them in poverty, instead of looking at the ideal of the society itself that was thriving. And also,
right.
we also have infractions too, really, right? That they're talking about the world's, you know, our where we're at is going to come to an end. The volcano is going to explode, and no one's wanting to listen. But more than likely, those people who did. Because
right.
there was also a book that was written too, where a lady talks about the three levels of Atlantis, or the three, I don't know what they call it, the three creations of Atlantis, which is kind of funny because in Egyptian culture, you have the Old Kingdom, the Middle Kingdom, and the New Kingdom. You have three. Most of your societies, there's always a format of three with them all. Most of the reasons
and
I do for people.
And you told me I had a life.
Huh?
You told me I had a life in Egypt, and that I was Cleopatra's spiritual advisor the last time that I spoke with you. And so
mm-hmm.
that's funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah,
because
I wouldn't be surprised if you
like,
wasn't one of the survivors who actually left Atlantis, because it seemed like you carried those crystals everywhere you've gone.
Yeah,
and
I'm always on my person.
Yeah, so you look at the situation, even if you lose them, they always have a tendency to. That's one thing I did too. I was sitting in my shop and I had some crystals that someone had given me. And a lady walked in and said, "Oh, you got your crystals back from Lemuria." So it's like there's
oh, wow.
a connection. So when we sit and talk about impressing our such, you know, our conscious mind or subconscious mind and the idea of energy,
yeah.
of positive
yeah.
energy and our thoughts and that kind of stuff onto things, it would make perfect
mm-hmm.
sense. Why would a crystal be gravitated to you? Because your consciousness
right.
is impressed on that crystal, so you guys come together. I like to get those back if I actually gave it to somebody. But I'm always giving things away. sometimes I feel like I shouldn't do that, but there's sometimes I just feel like people need it more than I do. Which if you look
right,
at the situation
right.
of Lemuria and Atlantis, that's the main core of the society. Okay? But sometimes with situations, what you do is like, if you ever watched the movie Atlantis, The Lost Continent of Atlantis, it's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
But, what's his name? Michael J. Fox and there's people in it. It talks about a crystal that has the energy and the impressions of consciousness of past kings. But it's also
mm-hmm.
evolved to the point where it has a consciousness of itself. But it's also a very
wow.
powerful energy source that also freaking powers the whole city. But also
wow.
there's connections with crystals. Those crystals, people wear around their necklaces too, and they have all these connections. And all the machinery is also based on the same kind of thing. But see, that
right.
if you look at those kind of societies, it was always something that they thought they were just better than everybody else. It came back on you. Because in that movie, it actually talks about the king uses that power in a very bad way, where he tries to control people. Or it's something that he misused the energy and the idea of creating a war.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of backfired on them, and the point of it's said that the god, what's his name? The one is over the ocean.
Know. Oh, Poseidon?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
And got together with the gods. Now, if you sit and listen to this thing, too, Atlanteans had the same gods as the Romans.
Oh,
and the Egyptians, when you look at the Egyptians' gods, now the Egyptians took on a different format, but each one of those divinities or identities, when you look at them, you can actually
yeah.
almost identically take those. Like like, what's his name? Apollo. Apollo can be traced almost in three cultures. They've been even saying that Atlantis might have, Atlantis had the same kind of divinities and that kind of stuff, but they're starting to think about the ideal a little bit differently, and the ideal that they wasn't God. This is our first impression of what pharaohs are like, and the idea of being God-like.
Right, right.
So when you take on the format and that kind of stuff like that, we have kings, and they have the same kind of entity and the kind of power that whatever they say, whatever they do, because of this energy source that's backing them up too as well, it gives them a godlike thing. So then we were talking about U2, but we were also talking about the ideal of survivors coming from Atlantis who couldn't quite, it was like the ideal, thinking you have these outposts everywhere. Okay, you have all these outposts and everything's going cool. They're thriving, they got their, but the reason it's working so well is because these outposts and their own societies, they're thriving on their own because they basically have taken the same technology and they have their own power source. And they can also keep in contact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, each five, there's like five or six of them that can keep in touch with each other because they have what we call miniature stargates where they can go and walk through dimensions.
Right, yeah.
And it's like a wormhole going to the, like, I want to go to Japan and go to that society and visit my friends. So you get it, you go into a stargate, and you go to that one, and they're all connected. And the reason, and then these societies basically got to a point where they knew Atlantis was going to be, they knew that Atlantis was going to get destroyed too. I think it's one of those things where we have a society that's very far advanced, but still have their own suspicions, their own superstitions and stuff with gods.
Right.
And it's probably in the process of the situation was probably filled in the same way too, because of their kings and the way they taught them the energy and that kind of stuff. And because it was actually said in that movie that the king hid the energy source, and then when he did that, basically the things that they used to do by teaching the kids and children about certain things, they didn't do that anymore. So the society fell into ruins. They also, because the energy source was still there, they were still thriving and still living.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had great... I guess the king's daughter was like 8,500 years old.
Right.
When they finally found the freaking place and they started talking to her. But it kind of makes you wonder how come she couldn't speak Atlantean at first until he taught her. Because they'd forgotten their language and everything. Because the king felt like he needed to take everything and hide it because of what he did. He made a mistake that caused a great war, so he thought he didn't think they were actually intelligent enough to actually use that energy and that technology, so therefore everything fell into ruins. But it wasn't really, I guess you look at a situation, it didn't really fall to ruins. It just wasn't, like when we talk about energy, when you focus on something, it thrives.
Right.
When you take your focus off of it, it doesn't.
Right.
So the crystal is actually reflecting subconscious energy too there, where the energy source exists because of the past king, but he's not putting anything into it. So they're basically, each year, they're just getting worse and worse and worse because he won't allow himself because of the mistake he made and the chaos and how he basically, well, I guess if you were in a situation like that and you realize you just destroyed a whole kingdom because of your mistake, you would probably sit there and go, well, we're not going to let that happen again. And it wasn't until somebody else came in with a fresh mind and said, no, it's just the idea of learn from your mistake, so you don't do that. Because every time you learn from a mistake, you just thrive 10 times more. And it's not the other way around, which we can see there. It didn't happen. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. But I was sitting there looking at the situation and saying, we have these stargates. And so therefore, the Atlanteans knew, and the ones on the outpost knew too, to the point where they would cut that off.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like it was one of those things where you have great mind control. Okay,
right.
So you control the situation. You're in the base of a active volcano, but therefore, if you have mental control, telepathic abilities and that kind of stuff, you probably keep that sucker at bay as much as you could. But then when you start losing, how will we put this? When you started to look at the situation to where you start manipulating people, the energy that you've created, because that's what they were saying about the idea of the society, and I guess the kings, they were such great kings, they would never do that with the war thing. He was the first to do it. So we still have the energy from those subconscious things, very positive energy that makes that makes the crystal thrive. But he put something into it that actually caused it to turn red, which means it came in a different light. So it was a blue, it was blue energy. Okay, so blue aqua energy. Okay, but when it was when negative thoughts hit it, it turns into something totally different, where it actually looks for a host to actually take over in the process of preserving itself and even changing whatever's going on in the situation, where they can find a pure. This is kind of funny, too, that they find a pure, and they say it was a pure royal love, royal blood, but I think it was why she was chosen was because her mindset was the idea of thriving. It was very positive, and it was also a situation where she was wanting, she was also thinking about her father, society, that the whole thing of what was best for them. At the same time, she's thinking that it's also going to benefit her, but she's also focusing on everyone around her and how it's going to benefit everybody. So the crystal says this is a very positive person who's definitely going to be a situation of for us to preserve and go on and thrive. So they took over the host to actually bring those statues to life, to actually create a force field. That's why I was first came up with the idea of a force field. The crystal was the main source that actually creates a connection to all those entities, those, I don't think, those giant statues with their own power source, connects the two and creates a powerful, powerful force field that nothing can penetrate. And also it can actually propel whatever's on the outside too as well to keep thriving, to preserve its existence. And that's what it did. But in the process, it's always thinking about the society, people, the situation. At the same time, it's talking about I need to exist. It's not doing it in a selfish way. It's actually everything in its midst is also being preserved.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine a society that would have failed, or would have even the idea of realizing what they've done. They could have still done it, like in the movie. The movie, they create the force field, so when the volcano erupts, it's protected from the lava.
Right.
So it actually protects itself.
Force field, is that, you said that's the movie name?
What's that?
What did you say that movie name was?
The Lost Continent of Atlantis, the Disney movie.
Oh, the continent, I put city, okay, got it.
Well, now I can actually look it up too, because I mean, I got Netflix, and I watch it. I've actually watched that movie probably 10 times in the last 2 weeks.
You sound just like me. That's what I do too. I love the research. And just learn as much as
I can. Well, I also look at, sometimes you can find research. I was actually, this is kind of funny, I was watching Men in Black, and it was like they were looking through the Inquirer and stuff, and he says, sometimes the truth is running into your nose, and something you never think about, right? So when we start looking at movies, we start realizing, is this someone's imagination, or is it based on a suppressed memory?
Exactly, like the Matrix.
Yeah, like the Matrix and that whole thing. You know, I think that maybe there's not a thing like that. But I think it's the ideal of what we're looking at society of trying to cover up the nasty stuff we don't want to deal with.
Right.
So we have a tendency to bake our own reality.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually watching some movies the other day. There was a guy named H.H. Holmes who's actually been classified as the very first serial killer in America.
Oh.
And this guy was he built a castle in Chicago, I think. It's talking about the turn of the century, and it's also talking about he was not too far from the World Fair. That was in Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
I couldn't remember.
Chicago.
I'm just saying, this guy was up there. They don't know how many people this guy really took out, but he had this castle. He had rooms made up. It was kind of funny, too, because it was all disguised. He had apartments at the bottom of the castle itself. They had stores that he rented out to people's stores and stuff. He had apartments on the third level, I think. And then the second level was all set up for torture and all kinds of good stuff.
Oh,
and then I just saw
word.
This other one.
Okay,
remember,
I've heard of that.
I'll just say, there's another guy named John.
We
also heard about John Wayne Casey. There was another guy that people don't realize that this guy came off as a perfect man next, perfect neighbor next door. And it was also found he when he wasn't like Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was electrocuted.
Right.
Casey was a lethal injection.
Mm,
but they actually
worry.
Said that.
We got to get back to past lives and stuff because I can't. I will have nightmares. We've flown way out the subject.
No. I was just sitting there talking about. I was just saying with the situation and stuff like that. It's kind of amazing. Oh, did you know this? This is just a fact that I just found out not too long ago, right? It was talking about that the first time they ever actually used the word serial killer, it was actually Ted Bundy that was actually used for. Which is what's so funny about it is they think Ted Bundy is also the one person who's actually a contradiction of a profile of a serial killer. Because he never killed animals when he was younger. He had a great family life when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a lazy person.
Wow.
But it was like one of those things, the situations and stuff. Yeah, it was like somebody scorned him when he was younger in college.
Mm-hmm.
They were noticing that most of the women he was with had a tendency to have dark hair.
Oh, wow.
But that was about the only connection to it.
Right.
And also, so it was like kind of funny. No, I was just saying, with this situation with Atlantis and that kind of stuff, I was sitting there going, what was I saying?
you just took it and ran, honey.
Oh, I know which one I'm doing. I'm on the wrong list. I was looking for that name. I forgot I was actually in the part where I ordered discs, you know, DVDs.
Oh, the for the movie. Because I know you've got some.
It's the name of the movie is called Atlantis, The Lost Empire.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm glad you looked it up.
Yeah, so I had it wrong. That's why I wanted to look it up real quick.
Yeah, thank you.
So instead of going over the whole thing going, I just saw this movie. Last night. It's called The Last Stand. It's the last movie Arnold Schwarzenegger did.
Oh.
And I was actually freaking out because it was actually good. I'm just saying Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. I'm just saying.
This is
some trivia for you.
You said it right.
Do you realize that Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger have actually done a movie where they're actually a small town sheriff who's underestimated? You know, the people that are actually, like in this movie here I just saw, where the FBI calls up and says, hey, we got a fugitive coming through there, and we just want you to just, you know, the SWAT team's going to show up, so just don't do nothing, just stand back, right? And the guy goes, I think Arnold said to him, you're not my boss, so therefore I don't have to listen to you, and he hung up on him. And then next thing you know, you hear about this guy was just a crazy man that actually escaped from the prison, that he actually annihilates the whole SWAT team that's not even going to show up. And next thing you got this small sheriff who actually, it's so funny when he does the older movies now.
Okay.
They always do this puns all the time. He was sitting there, this one guy says he wants to go to L.A. and he wants to work with the police force out there. And the guy goes, yeah, I remember when I was younger, and all I wanted to do was go to L.A. And you know what's so funny about it is, Arnold Schwarzenegger was in Austria, and then all he felt focused on was his goal was to get to L.A. to work with Joe Weider.
Right.
I was like, so he's throwing these things into this movie. I thought it was kind of funny how he has. I've always liked his puns, but they just did that one thing, Total Recall. They redid Total Recall. It's a good movie. But you can't talk.
I don't really watch too many movies unless it's like a documentary or whatever, and then I'm reading and studying. But I used to watch a lot of movies anymore and can't remember.
Well, I used to watch a lot of movies too, and then when I see Arnold come out with something or Sylvester Stallone come out with something, I think it's kind of cool because, see, they're upper, I mean, I can't remember how old Sylvester Stallone is, but he doesn't look his age. And they just refuse to give in to the whole thing. They just keep going these movies.
If my phone sets off, I did not hang up on you. Just so you know, I got 1% left.
Oh, no problem. I was going to say the same thing to you because we're in the overtime, but we're still taping. But I was just saying, if we get cut off too, means Blog Talk Radio said, see you later. And they don't have they don't sort of warn you, really.
They don't warn you, right?
Saying, oh, yeah, I'm just saying what you should do also is you should go and I think you should get Netflix if you don't have it and look at Ancient Astronauts, which is actually a series that was on the History Channel.
Yeah, I've watched the whole series. That's the type of stuff I watch.
Okay, I was sitting there talking to somebody, and I said, don't get me wrong, and don't get mad at me when I sit and look at you and say, everything I've heard on that show, it's fascinating, but I think it's bullshit. And the reason I think that is because I want to change the word. I want to change the word ancient. Uh-huh. I'm just saying, I want to change the word from ancient to Atlantean.
Mm-hmm.
Some people sit there going, I was sitting there talking, we've had a conversation before.
There's a documentary the whole series.
There's a what?
There's a documentary or a movie debunking that whole show series online.
Yeah,
I forget what...
My thing was like this, okay? Look at pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
Pyramids, okay, I feel like there is more to the whole thing where I actually did a show last year where I was talking about Khufu, who built the Great Pyramid, but he didn't do it physical. He did it by mental powers.
Right.
Telepathic abilities where he actually put those blocks into place so perfectly. It was because he moved them with his mind. Okay,
right.
So if you look at the
right.
situation, it's also been proven, too, that there's these pits next to the big Great Pyramid where they thought that they put ships in.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could build
mm-hmm.
ships. I'm not sure exactly what they were for. Yeah. Now they're starting to think that these pits were actually giant saws. Well, they wasn't, because if you look at these things, they're talking about chiseling these blocks into place the way they look. If you look at the situation of some of the blocks that are inside, and how smooth, and how they're just, so there's no mortar. They're just put into place perfect, right?
Right.
So, but they're thinking that the only way you can get that kind of perfection is to cut it. Yeah, you cut the stones and put it into place. And I was sitting there doing some past lives for people, too, where I could only see, all I could see was people, I could see people working around the Great Pyramid as the Great Pyramid's been built, which we also know there's temples and stuff around the pyramid. There's a community there.
Right.
So I saw the community, but I never saw anybody work. I never did a past life on anybody who actually worked on the pyramid, and I never have yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I did have a vision. I was focusing on the ideal of Khufu, which no one really knows anything about. There's not really a lot of things on the whole thing.
How do you spell Khufu's name?
I have no idea. I think it's K something. K Khu. Anyway.
I'll research it.
I'll have to sit there because there's actually talking about the Great Pyramid. If you find any kind of documentary, or if you're on Netflix and you go and find some of these documentaries that were on the History Channel, that kind of stuff has anything to do with the Great Pyramid, you'll hear about Khufu.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But my first theory on the whole thing was when we saw the runways. We saw the runways.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting this in Peru, I think, the runways. But if you look at the situation, and look at the plateaus around there. They all have tops, except for the one that has the runway, which has been cleared off. It's flat.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating in itself, but also look at the situation. You don't find any field dirt. You don't find out where they put this stuff at, which gives
mm-hmm.
you another indication that when you look at the top of that plateau, it's pretty level, too. It's almost like someone took a laser and cut the top of it off.
Right.
Which
exactly.
goes back to the crystal theory and the idea of who have we been talking about and the idea of who uses crystals. So I think it's more like this. If you look at our society, we have small runways, we have airports we don't use no more because we've advanced in technology that these airports are obsolete. So if you look at the situation, right, of runways, why would an alien need a runway?
Right. Exactly.
Also they're also showing one of those episodes too, they were talking about around that same place, if you go up on an airplane, when you're on the ground, it looks like there's these little, they look like potholes, but they're all in a row. There's like 9 or 10 of them in a row. But when you're up, when you're in a plane, when you look down on them, it looks like a track off a freaking vehicle. Yeah, like a big
mm-hmm.
giant vehicle. They're thinking aliens. But see, the thing that bugs me the most was the idea if you have aliens that were always trying to sit there and detect or to play that they were very high in technology.
Right.
Why would they use such machinery? It's machinery, first and foremost, and the idea of certain situations of clearing off the top of that mountain. But the mountain's so freaking level, and like it's almost like it's a natural phenomenon. Well, we know it's not. Because I was sitting there talking about it. I said, take the A and change it to Atlantean technology or an alien astronaut. That this is what we're seeing here is Atlanteans in the infancy, or what do they call that, the younger part of their lives when they were actually creating these things. There was also paintings. They found paintings and stuff in churches and stuff where it shows a guy in a spacecraft. It looks like Apollo. Apollo's first spacecraft was the space capsules and that kind of like that too as well. And
they found that too. Yeah. They found that thing in where was it? Where Bin Laden was killed. I can't even think right now. It's too late.
If you look at the idea of Atlantean technology and look at something on this planet and look at the situation of what we're looking at and realize if we're messing with aliens, I mean, aliens coming to a planet like this would have to have high technology in the first place. So therefore, more than likely, if they're an advanced civilization too, before they even come to this planet, I'm sure they've experienced other situations where when they came here, they would be prepared. They wouldn't need these big giant things on the ground to basically say, oh, okay, that's where Europe's at. They would have these things. I was telling everybody, I said, you ever watch Star Trek? They have sensors. Okay? So they know exactly what they're going into, the environment, if they can breathe, if they have to have any kind of suit or anything like that, or some kind of protection.
Right.
Which I feel like this alien technology. Oh, yeah, because I was sitting there looking at a situation where you see aliens. See, you see some people, some ancient man has actually painted these things on walls. But if you look at some of those paintings, there's always an energy around them too.
Yeah.
So therefore, it could be a base of crystal technology where, you know, they're thinking they're seeing a suit, when actually it's probably just a protection of energy that they've come up with instead of using suits.
right. And I mean, if you look in the paintings back in Da Vinci days and everything, there's UFOs in those paintings. They're very small, but
it's insane. No, I'm just saying we're also getting an interpretation. Oh, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm just saying, if you look at the idea of the paintings too, they're interpreted by what those people see, and also by their technology of how to identify it.
That's how the halos came.
Mm-hmm.
From their interpretation of aura.
Yes, that's what they've done. Yeah, the paintings and the pictures, they thought they were, you know, that's a halo. It's basically what it is. It's the ideal of the connection of basically back in those days, probably the crown chakra was very, very powerful because they were constantly getting the guidance and they were, you know, constantly open to what's going to happen today. And then there you get the energy. Because it's always right there. And at one spot, which we all know that crown chakra is there.
Exactly. I'm going to get going because I'm still in the jacuzzi and I got to get out and go home.
Okay. No problem.
Thank you. It was so nice talking to you.
Oh, no problem. It was nice talking to you too as well.
And I love picking your brain. I love picking your brain for knowledge.
Okay. I don't know how to take that, but thank you.
Yes. Have a good night, my love.
You too. Thank you. You have a fantastic fourth.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was crazy. Okay, we got some flashes going here. Let's see. All right, we're done. We're going to get out of here. So, everybody, thank you for calling. Thank you for all the people listening. And thank you for a fantastic show. And we'll see you Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. and join us. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And give love where love is given. And you all have a great night. Bye-bye.